Blog Talk Radio.
Are y'all ready for the fire talk? Low down on the biz and uplift the dialogue. Oh, yeah. Listen right along. This is straight off the press, the remix, fresh with no prior song. Oh. Supplying y'all with the certified thoughtful. Yeah. To get the piece of the piece, it's time to call blow. Yeah. The raspberry wind is fragrant, and flavorful. Insatiable eardrums taste the radio. Here can't be beat, the flash of me. Better leave all your doors and all half the week. What? Positive and motivational stack to see successful guests promote self mastery. BlogTalkRadio.com/the remix. Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Support the sister with a great reason. I must insist, don't miss it this evening. Peace, man.
Greetings, everyone. I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to The Remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue. And, of course, you know where you are. You are live in The Remix. Welcome, 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 everyone, to The Remix tonight. It is Sunday night. It is June the 3rd, 2012, and you are live in The Remix. Peace and greetings, everyone. Want to give a big shout out to all of our international listeners that are listening out there. No matter where in the world you're listening from, we want to welcome you guys. We know it's always a challenge and it's just a treat to have you guys here with us just because we know how early it is in some parts of the world to get up and to listen to the show or to wake up and listen to the show. So it's an honor to have you in the house. I see Amsterdam is in the house tonight. The UK is in the house tonight. England, parts of England is in the house tonight as well. Also have all parts of the United States. Good to have you guys here. Japan in the house tonight. And what a wonderful, wonderful share tonight. Of course, you know, Brother Wayne Chandler is going to be joining us here in just a short moment. It's always an honor to have him here to come and share on the platform. So much knowledge, so much information as we get ready to get into to share tonight. How's everybody doing? I want to invite you guys to come on over. If you're not in the chat room, you can certainly come over, and we'd love to have you guys in the chat room as well. And to get to the chat room, all you have to do is go to www.blogtalkradio.com/theremix and know that the chat room is open, and you can come on in. If you're a guest and you're listening for the very first time, and you want to join us in the forum, you are more than welcome to do that also. All you have to do as a guest to join us in the forum is simply come on over, come to the chat room. Once you get inside the chat room, all you have to do is click the button at the very bottom, sign up, tell us who you are. We'd love to know who you are, and come on in and chat. The Remix family is there. And everybody will make you feel so very welcome as you join us in the share tonight. Well, I don't know about you guys, but it's been a pretty amazing weekend. We're going to cover a couple of things before we actually get ready to get into the share tonight and continue here live in the Remix. For some reason, seems like things are kind of locked up a little bit over here, so we're just going to take care of that really, really quick. You guys may hear a moment of silence. If you do, have no fear. We'll be right back here in the Remix and doing what we do. So I know you guys can still hear me as we continue right here in the Remix. Live, I'm your host, of course, Miss Blue. And just really good to see everybody in the house. I want to talk about the show last Friday night because a lot of energy is going on, lots of energy on the planet. And this actually started really, I want to say, around April, even before everything was sort of announced about what was going on. We knew that The energy was here. It's been here since the beginning of 2012 and even some parts of 2011. But it really started back in May. One of the things I want, if you have not listened to the show that we did on Friday night, I definitely invite you to go back and download. There is a meditation that I actually channeled in that segment, and it is the meditation that really is connected to the energy of Venus and also the solar plex, the whole area of the solar plex, but particularly when it comes to the solar plex chakra. You definitely want to go back. You want to download that. Now, if you have the show and you want to just get to the meditation, go to 1 hour and 17 minutes, and it will take you straight in to this meditation. It is definitely a must for you to begin to get yourself into this energy, get into this lineup. So when the download happens, because remember, Venus is already in transit on the 5th and the 6th, this is when this will come into play. So it looks like I'm back on board here, so we can start to do some things here. Welcome, everyone, to the remix. So good to have you guys in the house tonight and have you here. Brother Wayne Chandler is going to be joining us here very shortly, sure to be an amazing chair. And also, don't forget, he's going to be doing a lecture in Atlanta, and Brother Panic is going to be hosting that lecture. So to find out more about the lecture, if you want to go, I know a lot of you said that you wanted to go to this lecture. This is the second one. You can email Brother Panic at atlantalectures@hotmail.com to get all the details about Brother Wayne Chandler coming and any of the other lectures that will be going on. So that's what I want to say. So much going on, you guys. And, yes, I'm getting things set up here. We're actually going to dance a little bit to kind of move around. I don't know about you guys. I kind of been moving around quite a bit today. Kind of been a busy day, but a real nice, smooth, and relaxed day. So I want us to get ourselves in position so that we can get up and get ready to dance and move around. So that's what I want you guys to do. You know, We're celebrating some amazing things that are happening right now that we're really coming into the realization of, really with this polar shift that we've been talking about as we move forward on this 2012 energy. And so tonight, that's going to be some of the main focuses that Brother Chandler is going to be talking about with us, really what to do to begin to get ourselves into this position, how to shift and how to change. If you want to shake, I'm sure you can shake too. We'll do a little bit of shaking too. But how to make shifts and how to make changes to really just prepare yourself for the energy that's on the planet now and the energy that is to come. So how exciting is that for everyone? I see you guys in the chat room. Peace and greetings to everyone. Good to see you guys. We're going to be on Twitter tonight. We're also going to be on the Remix family page. So if you guys are over there, go ahead, get yourself logged in. We'll come up with a hashtag in just a moment. So you'll have that also to do. And we're going to get started with the show. It looks like all systems are go here. I don't know about you guys, but I kind of feel that whole solar plexus energy just kind of moving around there. but that always moves around for me. But, yeah, it's moving around a little extra fast right now. So we do need to get up. Let's dance a little bit. Let's move ourselves around a little bit and just get ready to get into this energy, to get ready to share. So, all right, no time like the present. We're going to be dancing to one of my favorite tunes. But first, I want to say this. I received all of the emails from Friday's show. Some amazing testimony that you guys gave based upon the meditation, based upon the energy that you were feeling as well. So wonderful. Great. Know that I'll be getting back with you guys. The readings, all of that. We're going to talk about it, but I want us to get into the share here while we can. I'm so excited about the readings coming up this week, this amazing week that we have here about the readings. Thank you to everyone who did the investment in the Know Your Magic audio workbook. and all of you who are getting your Know Your Magic Oracle decks that are getting sent out all over the world as well. So we're going to move around. We're going to talk about that. We'll do that during the show too. But I want us to get up and get ready to move around. Now, this song that I'm going to be playing here, I think it's fitting for the time that we're in at this particular time. But I think you guys will enjoy this as well. This is actually one of my favorite songs. One of my favorite songs. I cannot tell you. Like, I played this song so much till it made my family sick when it came out. And for some reason, I can't get in the chat room. So we're going to see what's going on. But I literally made them sick listening to this song. They could not, under no circumstances, they just could not, and they just would not, they just could not hear this song. They just couldn't hear it. Like, this song, they couldn't even listen to it. So, but you guys are going to know that this is so perfect and so fitting for where we are right now. So get up, grab somebody to dance with a little bit, or just let the music move you. And, I'm back in the chat room. There I am. So, or let the music move you as we get into this. So here we go. Peace and greetings, everyone, and welcome to the remix. I'm so glad you guys are here. So here we go. Well, here we go now.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. Yes, that was Back to Life, Back to Reality. Wow, I can't tell you guys. That's like one of my most favorite songs in the world. But anyway, that leads for a whole nother story. We have a lot of things that we're going to be covering here tonight. Brother Wayne Chandler is going to be coming on tonight, and I know many of you are familiar with his work. You know, he is definitely done some amazing work in so many different modalities across the planet. We can't even say just here, but across the planet, a true alchemist in his own right, dealing with all of those things when it comes to sexual energy, healing, you know, a student, a teacher, a master in his own right. He is the author of the book that definitely I know every single one of you have in your collection, and that is Ancient Future. Definitely that and so many other projects. Brother Wayne Chandler is here to join us live tonight in the forum. Let's get ready to welcome him. I believe this is Brother Wayne Chandler here. We've got a lot of callers on the line that have pressed one, so let's see. Peace and greetings, Brother Wayne.
Here.
Oh, okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you very, very clearly.
All right. Peace and greetings to you, Brother Wayne Chandler. It's good to have you in the forum tonight. Welcome to the Remix again.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Yes, everyone's sending you love from the chat room. It is so good to have you in the forum tonight. We have a lot of things that we're going to cover tonight. I know you have some information you want to share with us. We also will be giving, Brother Wayne Chandler will be gifting someone a very special gift tonight. So you guys, keep your ears open for that. Also, I want to give out the hashtag before we get ready to get started for Brother Wayne. And the hashtag over on Twitter, which is the pound sign, is going to be Remix Cosmic Shift. And Esther's going to be over there helping me out with Twitter tonight. So you guys, if you have questions, you want to tweet about the show, you really just want to share your thoughts about what's going on, or just some comments you want to have for me or Brother Wayne Chandler, definitely you want to make sure you do that there, as well as on the Remix family page. We'd love to hear your feedback during the show. And, of course, right here on the chat room, and we'll be taking calls a little later. So we're going to start out, Brother Wayne. I know that this is the first time in 2012 that you've been back on the show, so it's good to have you back here. Good to have you with us and to come and share information. Let's talk about some of the things that you have going on at this time.
Oh, wow. Well, as you said earlier, I'm going to be in Atlanta at some point in the very near future. Brother Panic is working that out as we speak. And I'm looking to go to Poland to do some projects over there around the first part of July. And Jamaica, I have a biannual retreat, usually in August and February, which is a 7-day retreat where we go to Jamaica and really just I expose the practitioners, you know, to various types of practices and meditations,
right,
which deal more specifically with self-integration and self-empowerment. And the retreat is called The Alchemy of Inner Empowerment, and that is the focus. So I'm doing that in August. And I'm in Pittsburgh this coming weekend, the 9th. I'm doing a lecture there, and I'm bouncing around.
You're all over the planet. All over the planet. And, you know, speaking of which, you guys, definitely you want to make sure that you do catch up with Brother Wayne Chandler at one of these events, sure to be life-changing for you, either at one of the lectures to catch you there, or just to be able to maybe even go on some of the trips, like the annual trip that you do to Jamaica. I know quite a few people have done that and really, really have loved it as well. I do want to give out your contact information because I'm already starting to get requests for that, so we can talk about if you want to find out more about what's going on with Brother Wayne, or shall we say, where in the world is Brother Wayne Chandler? you can email him at phoenix9rising@hotmail.com. And so you can send your request there. And then also, let's talk about this, because I was so blessed to receive this. I actually had a chance to experience some of your work from a distance. So let's talk about some of the work that you do remote.
Yeah, I study a form of healing that's, I guess, more in the category of what would be classified as medical qigong. And an aspect of that is being able to heal remotely, to project, energetic frequencies into specific individuals that you have aligned yourself with energetically, and create shifts and changes in their energetic matrix. And that can just be, for a fine tune. It doesn't have to be related to healing per se, as we right. classify healing, but just to be fine tuned so that, you're feeling great and, all mm-hmm. cylinders are up and firing, or it can be, a little bit more involved and in depth, dealing with specific illnesses or imbalances mentally, physically, emotionally. That can also, be brought to bear and balance be reestablished.
Mm-hmm. And this is what I want to say to you guys. I had an opportunity to have a session with Brother Wayne Chandler, and I guess in the best words as I can describe it, wow. Wow. It's really something that you definitely want to be able to experience, and who better to experience from than Brother Wayne Chandler. So you guys, definitely, it's one of those things I know I wasn't aware of that Brother Wayne Chandler did from a distance. So no matter where you are in the world, if this is definitely something that's sparking your interest, you definitely want to reach out to Brother Wayne Chandler to have this done, and really just covering any of those modalities when it comes to healing and looking at it, like you said, from a holistic point of view rather than sort of a medical point of view. So you don't have to have anything wrong with you to do this. But, of course, we know we all are a little crazy, but you know what I'm saying. It is it's a great opportunity for you. It is like really getting – really just getting an all-in-one. I can't tell you, I felt very relaxed, very in tune, very open. I had really, like many of you guys, experienced a lot of that energy just in the solar plexus area. And that just really just, it really just kept everything, I'll use Brother Wayne's word, just kept things smooth, It's just really smooth. And the funny thing is, that was some of the comments I got from you guys from last week's show. You guys said, Miss Blue, you was just so smooth with it. It was smooth. And so I thought that was just really funny how that word came up again, because that was truly my feeling of the energy. And still at this point, feel that feeling. So, reach out, you guys. phoenix9rising@hotmail.com. Definitely it is a must. So email Brother Wayne Chandler. Let him know you heard about it right here on The Remix, and I'm sure he'll take care of you. So now, Brother Wayne Chandler, so much energy going on the planet. 2012, this time that some of us, either in this life or other lives, have been waiting on for this big polar shift to come. We're coming out of the 1,000 years and moving into the 2,000 years as coming into where the divine masculine and the divine feminine is coming together. Talk to us about some of these things that we can begin to do to get ourselves in alignment for this energy.
Yeah, one of the things, I guess I just wanted to kind of talk about the energy as a whole, because a lot of folks mm-hmm. like really know that we're getting ready to move into this place, or we have moved into this place, but don't really have an in-depth understanding or understanding even about what this place really, really is. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk about a little bit about that in terms of the whole 2012 and the shift in human consciousness, exactly what it's about, because you know, so much of, you know, if you don't know that something is missing, then you have no idea as to how to replace, you know, that aspect or portion of your essence. And so first, I think it's important for people to begin to have an understanding of what has been taken from them and exactly who and what they are, so that they can understand the significance of really doing integrated work at this particular time, so that they can reinstate their level of personal power. And, you know, that is something that, you know, when I listen to a lot of the individuals that are out here talking about 2012, and, you know, there's certain elements that are just absent, you know, with giving
right.
just a basic explanation, you know, of mm-hmm. what that is all about. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that and just kind of give an overview, somewhat of a just basic historical overview dealing with the Mayans and, you know, how
yeah.
historians have looked at the Mayans as today, you know, our Western historians look at the Mayans as being one of the more accomplished and more advanced in the science of what we would refer to today as time knowledge. Supposedly, you know, their main calendar is one of the most accurate on the planet, and, you know, scientists say that it has never erred, you know, as it has moved through the various years, revealing not only our current time in history, but our previous histories as well. You know, they also talk about the Mayans having 22 different calendars, which
yeah.
calculated, you know, like different timing cycles, you know, of all the different, you know, you know,
anything
universal
that
you
pulses, can think
of. You know,
yes.
throughout not only the universe, but our own individual solar system. So one of the things I wanted to talk about, because you have large cycles, you have smaller cycles, you know.
Right.
And so I wanted to talk about some of the longest cycles, you know, that we, you know, our human ancestors have recorded and have
right.
put them into the category of what we refer to as yugas. And
mm-hmm.
the yugas fall into a doctrine, one of them, which comes out of ancient India and is known as the Manvantara. And basically the Manvantara states that there are these yugas, or these great ages, of which there are four. And the first of these is called, they refer to as the Satya Yuga. And the Satya Yuga is 1,728,000 years. And it's a period or a cycle of pure spiritual integration, peace,
mm-hmm.
and the ultimate, and what we would refer to as harmonious accord. And the second of these great ages or yugas, they refer to as the Treta. And the Treta Yuga is 1,296,000 years. And it also carries a very, very powerful and high vibrational resonance, but not quite as high as the Satya. You know, the third of these great yugas or ages is the Dwapara. And the Dwapara is like 864,000 years. And then there is the age that we are currently in. Towards the latter part of the Dwapara Yuga, of the 864,000, imbalance is really showing itself much more. And though the Dwapara begins at a very high vibrational octave, you know, it ends in one that is like really enshrouded and cloaked in darkness. And this begins and sets up the stage for the current age that we're in right now, which is the Kali Yuga, you know, or the Age of Darkness, which is 432,000 years. Now, there's another system which actually comes out of Africa, and it's been held and passed down through a culture there known as the Igbo. And the Igbo use almost the same identical term, except you have the Y in the ancient Indian system, and the Igbo system does not have the Y, but they refer to them as Ugas. And the Ugas, as the Igbo refer to them, the first one is called the Uga Aka, and it deals with pure spirit and immortality. Death is unknown, which means that, you know, you just kind of live forever and do your dance, and when it's time for you to expire, you know, you do so willingly and willfully. The second of these great ages is the Uga Chi, and the Uga Chi reflects duality, intuition, telepathy, but towards the latter part of this particular great age, death makes itself known. And you also have the concept of duality making its presence. So what we have, like, in terms of the first Uga, the Uga Aka, in pure spirit, everything is moving, working in harmonious accord. There's a very deep sense of oneness in all different levels of expression. We find duality, the concept of polarity, manifesting itself in the Uga Chi. In the third, the Uga Anwu, the Uga Anwu states that this deals with the children of the light, whose all-seeing eye is the sun. All destructive tendencies are checked and neutralized, and you have, you know, this movement towards the application and the manifestation of will over the darkness. So even though you have destructive dimensional fields manifesting themselves, the will is so powerful during this particular age that the individuals have the ability to check anything that's going to create any level of discord.
Right.
But in the in the last one, the Igbo referred to as the Uga Azi. The Uga Azi, they say, equates to pure ignorance, delusion, confusion, and evil. And when you're in this particular cycle, that evil runs rampant on the earth. You know, so you have these great cycles, of which the smaller cycles, like the ones that the Mayan and other civilizations dealt with, fitting into this larger cyclic infrastructure.
Right.
So one of the things that I find very interesting in our daily process, you know, is how we as communities of people refer to our ancestry and refer to, you know, the histories of past. And there's an ancient saying that comes out of this samurai text. It says, "It is said that that which is called the spirit of an age is something to which one cannot return. That this spirit dissipates is due to the world's coming to an end.
Right.
Though one would like to change today's world back to the spirit of 5,000 years ago or more, it cannot be done.
Right.
Therefore, we must make the best out of every generation. You know, so I look at how important it is to be very clear about what you reach back into history and reclaim. Because some things do have an expiration date. Some things aren't going to mesh, you know, with the current vibrational frequency. So you want to really be clear about what kind of tools, you know, you embrace and how those tools are going to work for you and with you in your current cycle.
Right.
You know, I feel that.
Go ahead.
Yes.
No, I was just going to ask you a question. Very, very powerful information here. But I guess this will kind of bring us up to date with what we're speaking of here. Across the board, looking at the synchronicities, do you find that in your research, in your studies, that all of this information is really saying the same thing, coming from different backgrounds, coming from different cultures?
Yeah, no question. It's all saying the same thing. And that message is multidimensional, you know.
Right.
It has several heads. You know, one of the things that it says is that for the sake of our mental and spiritual health, you know, it's really somewhat, I don't want to say critical, but it's very important, incredibly important that we as humans, you know, understand or even understand, if we can create that inner cultivation, where we are in the context of our cyclic order, because the characteristics that are being displayed at that time can affect us profoundly. You know, we're like, you know, treading water in an ocean and not really knowing what to do or what direction we need to swim in to get to, you know, to get to dry land. Because of that, you know, we take a lot of things for granted. We don't know how to measure our reality, because there's nothing that we can, like, really bounce those frequencies off of, you know, to give us, it's kind of like sonar, you know, to give us an idea of what it is that we should be aspiring for outside of what we're getting, in this case, from the culture that feeds us the various ingredients for our own personal development. Are those ingredients really good for us? Are they sound? You know, are they giving us the level of clarity and vibrancy and vitality that we really and truly need, you know, for our levels of self-empowerment? We don't really know any of that. So when it comes to various calendars, in this case we're talking about the Mayan calendar, you know, there are certain specifics, you know, that I think you want to be aware of. The significance of the Mayan calendar, that's a whole nother thing, you know.
Yes, it is. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut
you
off.
No, go ahead.
I wanted you to speak on this point too, Brother Wayne, because one of the things, and we had this conversation the other day, and I was asking you about it, is the fact that now they have, well, it actually was last year, and I told you I was kind of waiting on this to see where this was going to go. They actually found a new Mayan calendar that takes us way, way past 2012.
Right.
And really, my question to you then, and I'll pose it here when we talk about just this consciousness of where we are, a lot of the grand unification theory that's coming back online, and just this collective consciousness and understanding what it is, and really sort of stepping ourselves really into the dark, so to speak, as far as our shadow sides, and really coming to the wholeness of who we are, which in turn the universe is sort of doing that in its own way with the lineups of the planets. This is all about everything sort of kind of getting back in that divine order. Do you think that with these things going on, that it's more important that we begin to focus on a collective level, or focus on an individual level, or on both levels?
I think it's important for both levels because both levels are being addressed right now.
Yes.
When you look back into antiquity, one of the things, you know, they focus a lot right now on the Mayan calendar, you know.
Yes.
But see, what that does, again, that's a compartmentalized, fragmented mm-hmm. approach to looking at a global reality because it gives you the idea that just this one little community of folks were living in this particular way and were connected, you know, in this particular rhythm, you know, and
right.
that's just not the case. So
right.
you want to understand that it was about community as well as the individual, and this is where the rites of passages, you know,
yeah.
come in, because through rites
mm-hmm.
of passage, you know, you begin to create your own focus of what is personal
right.
power, and then how you can take that acquired personal power and create community, create, you
right.
know, camaraderie. You know, you
right.
want to understand that this particular community consciousness was global.
Right.
All of the cultures in antiquity functioned and focused off of the same type of calendar that
yeah.
the Mayans used. Even
right.
today in Ethiopia, they still use a 13-month, 28-day calendar in Ethiopia today.
So true. So let me ask you, and I'll say this for people, because this was one of the things that I actually wrote a paper on that was interesting to me. But let me ask you, why do you think such attraction to just specifically the Mayan calendar and not some of these other calendars that really come out of the continent of, let's say, Asia, or even some of those that's coming out of ancient Kemet or Africa, because there are calendars there that are still very relevant as well. Why so much of the focus on this Mayan calendar, do you think?
Because
I want you to say it, Brother Wayne.
Oh man, you've got me up against the wall. You know what can I say? I think it follows a cultural template. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's a template that's used, you know, with respect to, you know, what can be reflective of consciousness and humanity, and where humanity and consciousness really evolved and had
right.
strong roots. And so
yeah.
There is no consciousness in Africa, you know. And so you can't really look at that and say, you know, well, something ingenious took root there, evolved there, and influenced, you know, an entire global process, you know, of unity and community. You know, I mean, and it runs, you know, a very similar format and all types or aspects of endeavors, you know, that
mm-hmm.
move out of Africa, from martial arts to the many sciences that were created
right.
there,
right.
from mathematics to the alphabet, you know, all up and through, you know, the various expressions of our spiritual philosophies and directions,
right.
you know. You know, so we've been taught and told, you know, that nothing substantial has ever evolved and found its way out of that particular landmass. And so you have
right.
to create a certain type of, you know, continuity, you know, with the thing that you've created. And so the Mayans are looked upon, and this is the thing that is very significant here, and this probably more so than anything else, is that, and this is one of the things I really want to get into, is that they are measuring a calendar within the context of Mayan culture and civilization, which reflects all of the other ancient cultures and civilizations, against, you know, because these cultures that they used were based in natural time, They were based in a frequency that was in alignment with universal frequency and the frequencies, you know, of our solar system and the Earth. So they were all reflective of a natural process. So what we're actually doing is measuring a calendar based in natural time against a calendar that is totally fabricated and inauthentic. The calendar that we use today doesn't exist anywhere in natural time. It's a fabrication.
Nowhere.
It's something that was literally created. It was man-made, and it was made to really create a level of distraction and disconnection from our core spiritual beliefs and movements, our inner processes. You know, so when you look at the calendar in itself, the design, it was a 13-month or moon, as they refer to it, calendar that had 28 days, and every month had 28 days.
Right.
Now, the thing with the with this particular calendar that made it so powerful is that it was based primarily on a feminine dynamic that correlated human consciousness with the moon cycles of intuitive and telepathic power. So what it did, it connected humanity into a multidimensional process that basically brought into being and maintained a balance physically, mentally, and spiritually, you know, on all these various levels without them having to go after it. It's who and what they were based on how the calendar functioned and as an integrated construct, how they dialogued with the energy produced from that and it from the energy produced from the human race. So when you look at it like that, you say that the 28 days, you see that it was a 28-day calendar. Well, what does that mean? The human biorhythmic pulse operates on a 28-day cycle. The feminine menstrual cycle operates on a 28-day pulse. So basically, this 28-day, 13-month calendar was looked upon as like a harmony, you know, of universal expression. And as I said earlier, you know, I mean, it aligned the consciousness of humanity with a fourth dimensional reality, which really corresponds to the fourth chakra, which corresponds to the heart center, which corresponds to love, peace, and a harmonious accord, all of which are not seen on the planet at this particular day and time that we operate in. And so when you look at our design, as a human being, by nature, we're fourth-dimensional beings. This means that our energetic design, as it stands, that deals with the chakras, meridians, or nadis, which distribute life force throughout the body, all of these different qualities that we carry are locked into a vibrational field or a dimensional field that gives us certain abilities that others may call powers that allow us to create realities that we wish to move and thrive in. Once the calendar went away, was taken away from the way it was originally designed, then we became disconnected from that process. And what's so important to understand is that when humanity operates outside of natural time, it operates outside of divine and universal truth. So once the calendar shifted, then we shifted along with it. The holism, the interconnectedness, the inner dialogue that we had between spirit and our personal power, all of that came to an abrupt halt.
Yes.
So living in this reality that we're in right now, we're fragmented, we're disconnected, we're disconnected from universal order, and being disconnected from universal order, we lose our power to attract, pull, and create from our own universal source, which is really our birthright.
Okay.
You know, we've replaced, and then the deep thing is that we've replaced we've replaced our universal source with a socio-cultural construct or source that we are now dependent on for our survival. And this is, we've taken a natural, universal power. We've been moved away from that, and we've had that replaced with an artificial source or power that provides us now all forms of the sustenance that we rely on. Our physical, material sustenance, our mental, intellectual sustenance,
yeah,
our emotional and fraudulently expressed spiritual sustenance.
Yes, so true. So true.
And so people get into this thing of, you know, well, how can I get out of survival mode? You know, I'm rooted in survival mode, and I'm really trying to step out of this, but I don't know how to do it. The universe is the largest, most profoundly integrated thing that we know. I mean, it thrives with an essence that's based, like, in pure holism. And we as human beings, we live in a culture that has fragmented us, compartmentalized us. We are very non-integrated, and living in that kind of self-imposed reality, the universe, it doesn't even recognize us. And therefore, our source of natural creation, our ability to automatically manifest, has been severed. It's been cut off from us.
Mm.
So there, you know, you find yourself constantly, consistently in survival mode, you know, like serving like an artificial master, begging
right.
for pennies and materialism instead of connecting
right.
to your source and creating your own reality.
You know,
you will never be able to attract the things that you need as a non-integrated being, of which we are.
That's right.
And ask the, you know, you hear people say it all the time. All you have to do is just ask the universe for whatever it is that you want.
Right,
and the universe
right.
wants to heap and shower you with all of its blessings. No, the universe isn't going to shower you with anything because it doesn't even recognize you. It doesn't even see
right.
you.
Right, right. That's,
so the
that's
first a... step is to become integrated.
Yes, it is. It's really to know where are you sourcing your power from.
Exactly.
You know, that's one of the things that I talk about is, like, if things are not going the way, where are you really sourcing this power from? You know, and I think you brought up some excellent points. A lot of us don't know where we're getting it from. So you, therefore, if you don't know, you can't be truly connected if you don't know where it's coming from.
Exactly. Exactly.
Beautiful.
No,
beautiful.
So the whole thing with the calendar, you know, was so powerful because you want to understand. I mean, you know, they've got it down. They've got it down to an incredible science, you know. So 4445 B.C., we have what's called the Julian calendar. The Julian calendar comes about, and then about, I think it's like 1582, our current era, we had another calendar which basically – gave backup to the Julian calendar, which is known as the Gregorian calendar.
Right.
Now, both of these calendars, or calendrical constructs, as I like to call them, were linear as
mm-hmm.
opposed to cyclical. They were
mm-hmm.
imbalanced, and they were abstract in their nature. And what they did, their design, their energetic design, was to disconnect human consciousness from its instinctive telepathic and intuitive processes,
mm-hmm.
and that's exactly what it did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people are going to want, well, how can a calendar do that?
Have
to, like, you know, and I got to reach inside my little brain and, like, bring this quote to mind. There's a quote that was made by this scientist who studied time and calendars. So he looked at the calendar, and he looked at how calendars moved in the ancient world, how they were structured and set up. He saw this alignment, you know, that dealt with a certain level of fluidity between consciousness and the way the calendars were constructed. Now, he was then able to say that, well, when you look at our system of what we refer to as calendrical expertise, all of our months are uneven.
Yeah.
Some months we have 30 days.
Some
months we have 31 days. Some months we have 28 days. And some years we have 29 days.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I have to ask, I'm like, okay, this is how many days are in this month? You know, you have to stop all of the time and think about where you are in time and space. Now, what he said was that just as air is the atmosphere of the body, so time is the atmosphere of the mind. Then he goes on, he says that if the time in which we live consists of uneven months and days regulated by mechanized minutes and hours, then that is what becomes of our mind, a mechanized irregularity. And since everything flows from mind, it is no wonder that the atmosphere in which humanity lives daily becomes more and more polluted. And the greatest complaint is I just don't have enough time.
That's right. Time doesn't exist.
You know, and so, you know, it comes down to, you know, whoever owns your time owns your mind.
Yes.
You know, that's like the bottom line. You know, so you have this process that has been put upon us dealing with a inauthentic, fabricated calendar, you know, with these mechanized hours, minutes, you know, and seconds. And you wonder, like, well, where does all of this really come from? You know, I mean, is this something that was by design? And so then you get into, you know, if I can, like, read this. This is a translation from a document that's referred to or known as the Dream Spell Codex. It was a Mayan document. And what it basically states, it says, imposters, male priests and warriors usurp the power of the 13 moons. They hid the 13 among themselves and attempted to banish all memory of the dream spell matrix of magic. The human race, the planetary kin, had imposed upon them the diminishing power ratio of 1260, 12 months, 60 seconds, 60 minutes to the hour. No longer the magic of the 13 moons, but a 12-month calendar of uncertain meaning. No longer the timeless experience of magical flight, but a 60-minute hour to earn one's bread. Time was compressed into a flat circle. Instead of the 1328 ratio already stored deep within the crystal core of the Earth, the human race received the 1260 ratio, the dark dream spell of history. And so the 13th moon was dismembered and added on as extra days to the calendar of 12. The absorption of the 13 by the 12 was called an improvement by the male imposter priest, hypnotized by the combined powers of Jupiter and Saturn. While the 12 diminished the power of 13 by 1, the 60 raised the power of 20 by 3. A seeming increase in power occurred, but it was an increase only on the flat plane of third-dimensional time to which the human race was now entrapped. With the banishment of the 13 moons, the fourth dimensional time magic became the property of the priest class, setting up religions and governments to maintain humanity within the third dimension. The priests were assured that anyone having fourth dimensional experiences either be appropriated or destroyed. Mm-hmm. So that tells a very detailed and insightful story of just how we got from there to here.
Yes. You know, go ahead. I'm listening.
Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking about this whole concept, you know, about time. And, you know, just when you started out and you said, well, you know, how can time and these things of calendars, how can this have changed humanity as we know it or changed us? Even if we want to put it on the individual level, it really can. I know one of the things that I've always struggled with was being inside of those constraints of time. Now, lucky for me, my mother is one of those individuals who cannot wear watches. If she does, it will stop it. It'll make it spin backwards, forward. It'll do all kind of crazy things. She cannot wear watches. So that was actually passed down to me. So I don't wear watches. So
that's
everything
fantastic.
I had to do, it had to, I have to wake myself up. Based upon my energy, I have to know what time to do things. So as a result of that,
it connects you to your inner processes.
Yes.
It keeps you locked into your telepathic, psychic, and intuitive dynamics.
Yes.
And see, that's the whole thing with the calendar, because with a 13-month, 28-day calendar, like, every day was the same. So say if the 4th of July, you know, fell on a Tuesday in May, the 4th of July also fell on a Tuesday in June, and the 4th of July fell on a Tuesday in July, and in August, and on and on and on and on. Now, what this did, it allowed people not to have to lock into the framework of where they were in time and space.
And space.
It freed up, you know, their intuitive and telepathic processes. And this is how they stayed connected, you know, to the higher aspects of their own, you know, inner mechanisms. And that doorway, that gateway, that internal gateway to the spiritual world was always available to them.
Beautiful.
You know, we don't have, you know, that leisure because we operate within a linear framework. That linear framework connects us to the left hemisphere or the mundane aspect of our brain, the cognitive, the intellectual. As a matter of fact, it's time bound. Where when you look at the feminine aspect, the right hemisphere, it's timeless. So what happens in the left hemisphere deals with compartmentalization because, you know, its nature is that it compartmentalizes or splits the world into identifiable bits and pieces. The other thing it does, it connects us to and keeps us rooted in a three-dimensional reality. So anything outside of the 3D dimensional reality, you know, outside of that which is tangible, that which is connected only to the five senses, anything outside of that, for us, it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist, Beautiful. Love it. We are live, everyone, with Brother Wayne Chandler, and everybody is loving the share. We have a packed house here tonight. Listeners from all over the world just covering so much great information as we continue to share here tonight. So let's talk about that. Now that we really understand exactly sort of some of the, I guess you can say, some of the things that have brought us up to this particular moment right now where we are. How can we begin to move forward with this? What are some of the things that we can begin to do on a day-to-day basis? Before you give that out, I want to give out your information again. For everybody who want to get in touch with Brother Wayne Chandler, email him at phoenix9rising@hotmail.com. And so that's how you can reach Brother Wayne Chandler. But what are some of the things that we can begin to do? And we can talk about different modalities on different levels of what we need to do. Talk a little bit, if you could share this, why meditation is so important and what is the real purpose of that? Because often I hear so many things about why people meditate. And I want you to give your take on why meditation is important.
Well, I mean, meditation, I mean, it's going to be different things for different people, first of all. And they're
right.
going to use it as a template, you know, for different reasons, depending on what it is they wish to acquire in their own personal existence or their own personal lives. But one
right.
of the things, when you look at meditation, for me, meditation is connecting to, you know, my divine self, which means
right.
that once I'm in that particular sphere of reality, then I can manipulate and dictate my three-dimensional realities as I see fit. And that is, you know, our birthright. That is our divine birthright. So what meditation does, it really allows a person to move beyond the entrapments and the limitations, because the three dimension is all about limitation. It allows the individual to move beyond the entrapments, you know, and the limitations of a three-dimensional construct or a three-dimensional reality. It allows an individual to truly explore and manifest a much greater, expression, you know, of their creative potential, you know, their unlimited resources that they bring here into the world that pretty much has been dumbed down. All of us, you know, are multi-geniuses. You know, but we've been herded into just this one way of expressing ourselves, you know, that is part and parcel to how the culture operates.
Yeah, so true.
You know, so, I mean, that's one aspect of how to use the meditative science, you know, but there are other ways, you know, people use it, you know, like who want to slow down, because the meditation moves you beyond physical or three-dimensional time,
mm-hmm.
you know. So
mm-hmm.
when you go into a state of meditation, you know, the parietal lobe, the occipital lobe, and the frontal lobes, they all close down. And so those are the three areas in the brain that really keep us regulated within the construct of time and space. So when those three lobes begin to shift and then eventually shut down in the meditative state, the body stops moving in space and time, and therefore time, three-dimensional time, is no longer affecting it.
There it is.
So, I mean, if you want to live forever, you have a strong meditation.
That's right.
if you want to follow the authentic, you know, immortal path, then have a strong meditation.
Yes, get into your meditation, you guys. I love it. I love to meditate because it is the place, like you said, where the oneness comes in, where you become one, where everything becomes one.
Yeah,
and you can just really bring that wholeness of what we're talking about and really that collective unconsciousness, tap into those different, all of that exists there. I can get there through meditation and really just there. And then sometimes, like you said, it's just to shut down. You know, it's like a computer. Sometimes you have to hit the restart button. You have to just kind of defrag, and that's my place to kind of let everything just kind of calm itself out. So beautiful. What are some of the other things that we can begin to do?
Well, the breath is always involved in every aspect of whatever it is that we're doing, because the breath is one of the higher sciences that allows us to open into, you know, our higher, our deeper aspects of self. You know, so by just understanding the mechanism of the breath, you know, you can, like, create various frequencies within the body that affect the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. Yeah, and you know, affect the various, and how they affect the various chakras. There's certain breathing techniques that you can apply that will affect the different organs and glands in the body, which, you know, also when you deal with the glands, because the glands have a consistent dialogue, especially the endocrine glands, you know, have a consistent and perpetual dialogue with the chakras, you know, in the human body. So you create dialogue between those two. You know, so when you talk about mind, body, spirit integration, you know, you're really talking about, well, how do you as a conscious being begin to move internally into your internal environment and identify your internal landscape, you know, to begin dialogue with the organs, to begin dialogue with the glands, to begin dialogue with the inner systems that really keep you alive. Most folks don't really understand that the organs of the human body and the glands are what keep us alive. They keep us physically vibrant and healthy.
That's right.
All of our physical power that we express in our three-dimensional everyday existence comes from the energy, the vitality that's manifested and produced by the organs and glands in our body.
That's
Once they begin to get overworked, because we don't address them. We don't even acknowledge them. We don't even know where they are. Where's your liver? It's up here. No, that's your neck.
That's not.
You know, I mean,
so true.
It's bad.
It's true, though. It really is true. And then, you know, our adrenals, like, that's so much that I'm seeing in the work that I'm doing. So many people with adrenal problems.
No question.
And even myself have to be very conscious of that, because we are constantly in that mode. Particularly, I've seen a lot with sisters in that fight or flight mode.
All
and our
the time.
Adrenals are just racing. And sometimes I get into people's energy and I'm like, oh my God, like, your adrenal gland is just like, how to control, like, this is a lot that we're seeing, and it's because of that. You know, I remember, and I'm sure you have your work with this too, but I remember Queen Afua saying, if you can breathe, we can do anything, because
that's
what you need. That's what you need. If you still have breath, then we can work all of this out. Everything is going to be okay if you can breathe, because you got to have that, you know.
No question.
That part of it that really just helps to attune the body and the organs, like you said, even more than just energetically. We think about breathing for life, but not just for life, but really just for optimum health and really just freeing us up energetically. I know a lot of times going into the reading, the breath is it. When my breathing pattern is off, I know everything is off. From an energetic standpoint, you know, from a physical standpoint, it just impacts everything.
No question. Yeah. I mean, one of the techniques that I teach, one of the practices, is called the six healing sounds. Now, every organ in our body corresponds to an emotional field. Now, we live in a culture that heaps upon us low base or negative emotional fields way more than it does positive emotional fields.
Yeah.
So by the time we get ready to go to bed every evening, we're wired, we're stressed out, and we're just wondering how in the world we're going to get to sleep. Sleeplessness is like, I mean, it's a pathology in this country.
Yeah.
No, it really, really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so widespread, virtually very few people are able to get to sleep at night without the use of some type of sleep aid or medication. You know, you have that actor that died, Heath Ledger, you know, that died a few years ago, who did an amazing performance, you know, in the second Batman episode. And all he was trying to do was to get to sleep. That's all he was trying to do.
Yeah, even Gerald LaVert, the combination of the sleep aid, you know. You know, we have a lot of our singers that this is really it. Even Michael Jackson, you know, a big part of their transition, of course, we can say on some level we choose how to go, but you can't help but think you wanted to go because you couldn't sleep. You know,
right,
that impacted you. That impacted you still. It is a message for us to know, you know, really just to begin to understand it. We really push ourselves to the wire.
We do.
A lot of times.
We really, really do. And it goes back, you know, to this whole concept, you know, of what does it take, you know, to create the initiative to really bring forth the motivation to learn various things that are outside of the cultural box so that you can begin to create the realities that you need that are going to take you, that are going to remove you from survival mode. Because survival mode keeps you in a constant state of desperation, as I like to say. Mm-hmm. And desperation keeps you in a constant state of fear. And that's one of the emotional fields that attaches itself, you know, to the kidney energy. And, of course, atop the kidneys sit the adrenals. So when the kidneys are filled with all of this fear-ridden, fear-based energy, they affect the adrenals. And so you find yourself in a state of constant flight or fight.
Yes.
You know, and all you're doing with that much adrenaline consistently being poured into your body is you're burning yourself up from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and all of this because of our mind's relationship with time.
Right.
So we're in this constant race that we're running, you know, because our mind is in this constant race with time, you know, and it's affecting us on so many levels. So you know how we love to hear you breathe. So you know I'm going to ask you to really give us some examples here. I know you've done it before, but I want us to really just kind of get, if you can give us an example of one of these things of breathing that we can begin to do.
Well, I mean, one of the things in terms of just a good breathing technique is first just breathe from inhale and just breathe from the lower abdomen, just the lower abdomen. Just to do that first, that's the first step. Just breathe from the lower abdomen. The second step, take the tip of the tongue and place it on the roof of the mouth. There's a ridge that runs center along the upper palate.
Yes.
Just take the tip of your tongue and just place it right on that ridge, anywhere along that ridge, as you're breathing. Now, you're going to inhale to a count of seven. You're going to hold one and exhale to a count of seven. Inhale to a count of seven, breathing only from the lower abdomen. Hold one, exhale to a count of seven. Those of you that know the Ujjayi breathing, which is like taking the air down the back of the throat, you can use that. That's the Ujjayi breathing.
Beautiful, beautiful. And how often should this be done? Is the recommendation
to do it throughout the day? You can do it throughout the day. It's called the master breathing technique. And breathing from the lower abdomen like that, what it does, it really activates and works the navel chakra. It activates and works the sex chakra. And it activates and works an overlapping energy center that we refer to as the Dantian. So when you breathe from that area of the body, you're actually building a lot of life force in the body. And that's why they refer to it, you know, as the master breathing technique. Now, you can change the ratio. You know,
you can
inhale to a count of six and hold for three, and then exhale to a count of six. You can also do that. You know, now the thing that's so powerful about the time when we were speaking about a couple of minutes ago is that you hear people saying this all of the time, like time is speeding up. You know, I mean, it seems like it's just not as many hours in the day. Well, you know what? They're right, because time is speeding up. It's been speeding up since 1980. So, we deal with what's called the Schumann resonance pattern or pulse, and this pulse of the Earth has been calibrated at about 7.83 cycles per second. Now, the military has always used this as a very, as you could say, reliable reference.
Mm-hmm.
But since 1980, the resonance has been rising and is now over 12 cycles per second, which means that there is the equivalent of less than 16 hours in our day instead of the old 24 that we still calculate.
Right. I can tell. I promise you, I know that, because it really is. You know, time is, it's flying. Time has gone, in a sense.
Yeah.
That's the joke
yeah.
that I make. Time is gone. There is no such thing as time. It's gone.
Right.
Gone.
So this is another indicator of where we're going, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
With respect to the Mayan process, now, the Mayan broke their cycles into what they referred to as the third world, the fourth world, the fifth world.
Right.
So the fifth world ended like around 1987, 86, somewhere in there. So between 1987 and 2012 is this period of what I will refer to as the gray area. It's like a void, you know. It's the
mm-hmm.
passage between one world to another, you know, but you have now time to kind of prepare yourself, you know, for what it is you want to accomplish. You want to get focused on how you want to set your own program in place, if you're conscious, and what you want that program to be as you expect and anticipate this new vibrational frequency. Now, between 1987 and up to now in 2012, we've lived in what I refer to as the neutral zone.
Mm.
The neutral zone basically creates a lot of gray area. You know, there's a lot of gray area for people, you know, who don't want to get involved in doing, you know, assistance-based work to help elevate and move all of this forward, bringing us out of the darkness into the light, however you want to phrase it, however you want to look at it.
Right.
But the thing with December 21st of this year, 2012, the gray area is gone. The gray area, the neutral zone disappears, which means you're either part of the solution now, or you're part of the problem.
That's it. Bye-bye, gray zone.
Yeah.
You better know your magic for real.
No question, because it is. What's happening now, the veil between the worlds is getting thinner and thinner. When I say the veil between the worlds, I mean the dimensional fields now.
I feel that they have left.
Yeah.
It's been gone. I think that veil, Brother Wayne, has left. I really do. I really do believe that that veil is gone. But like you said, I think even those who may not be, and I really hate to use this word, but just for sake of conversation, those who are conscious of it are now going to be able to know that that is gone as well, too. And in some cases, they have. This was something that I had spoke about, too, and I want you to talk about this, is that no longer is it enough to just be conscious, because now the whole world is conscious. So I believe, and this is sort of what I know, too, I say believe, that really what's being called forth is that for the genius to step up. And that's really bringing the best of the left hemisphere and your right hemisphere, the divine masculine and feminine that live within all of us, to bring that out. That's what's going to separate, I believe.
That's what it's about. I mean, it is. That's exactly what it's about. You know, we're moving into a place because we have lived in a patriarchal, male-dominant reality, cultural reality now for quite some time, you know, over the last few thousand years. Now, to bring and reinstate balance into our current reality, there has to be the resurgence or the reintroduction, if you will, of the feminine power.
Right.
And that operates and manifests on a variety of different levels, beginning in our minds, because we've been living exclusively in our left dominant brain reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so now being divorced, I mean, just the construct of you know, if you look at the construct of the left hemisphere, you know, it's some of its qualities is time bound.
Right.
It processes information bit by bit, detail, compartmentalizes
detail.
The world.
Yes.
Now, when you look at the right hemisphere, the feminine brain, the feminine mind is timeless.
Yes,
it processes information all at once.
Yes.
It's simultaneous, and it looks at the whole, and it connects the world into a connected whole, and it looks for relationships. So we have both worlds existing within us.
Yes.
It becomes a matter of choice once you know.
Once you know,
Once you know. And then the thing is that once you know, to all of your listeners out there who now know, once you know, you can't make excuses for why you don't do.
Ooh, we just talked about this on Friday. When you know better, you should do better.
And see, what's profound at this point in time is that knowing the universe is going to be moving with, you know, a process of retribution or karmatic response much more quickly than it has in the past.
Mm-hmm. And I because want you to talk about that just a little bit, because there's a lot of misconceptions about what that is. Can you speak on that a little bit more?
Well, as the fabric of your reality changes and shifts,
right?
There's a certain template that, or texture that allows certain things to come in vibrationally and settle. So we've lived in a vibratory texture that allows elements, you know, of darkness and impropriety and, you know, just negative intent to come in and take root. But as we move into a different vibrational texture, of which, you know, this time is all about, with all the the light energy, you know, the luminescent fields, you know, moving in and upon and surrounding the earth, giving us a different type of global frequency.
Right.
Those areas that supported that dark, low base, energetic energy are no longer there.
Right.
So
right.
If you are operating on that particular principle and trying to manifest through that template,
mm-hmm.
of the past, of the old, of the dark as opposed to the light,
right,
you automatically set up an instantaneous, you know, repercussion that comes back 20 times now, 20 times faster than it did previously.
That's right. Energy goes where thought flows.
Right.
And it's flowing real fast. Real fast. Beautiful, beautiful. Thanks for that. Because that's one of the things that, you know, sometimes when we begin to think about this, and just so everyone can be clear here about this, this is not based upon wrong or right. It's not based upon me thinking that you did something wrong, so therefore something wrong is going to happen to you. It doesn't work that way.
No.
It doesn't work that way. This is not about a judgment. So really remove that. Sometimes when we talk about karma, karma is not just based upon, you can't think that, oh, I'm the most important person in the universe, so therefore you do something to me, you're going to get it back 20 times harder. It doesn't work that way. Really begin to look at it this way. If something does happen to you, perhaps what rule did you set for yourself so that that can even be integrated into your life?
Exactly. Whatever your contract is, it now is being put in front of you at 100%, you know, in terms of the ability for it to accelerate a response. You know,
right.
So, you know, people will come and they'll say all of the time, we know that this guy has done some things that have really hurt a lot of people, or they've done some things that have been gone against the whole flow of what we refer to as the law. And how did they get away with this? How were they able to do this? You
That's
know,
right.
why? Because the energetic template, the texture of the energy supports that. But what happens when that energy is completely removed off of the table? It becomes harder and harder for those types of things to stick, stay, and root themselves. And it's not about judgment. It's not. It's just about frequency. It's just about a shift in terms of universal intent.
Right. Yes. Yes. That's the level that you want to be on. Because if you are, then you're on that lower frequency too. If you're doing it from a point of judgment, which I think is that's a part of our human nature too sometimes, but I just don't want people to walk away with the perception, because sometimes when we think about these universal levels of karma, that it is based upon some wrong and some right, but it's not really based upon those rules. If you stand on top of a building and you drop an orange, it's going to fall. That doesn't make it wrong. That doesn't make it right. That's just that universal principle. It's going to happen. Brother Wayne, are you still with me?
I'm still here. I'm just, I'm carried away. I'm listening to your flow and your truth, you know. I mean, it is so on point. It is so on point.
Oh, I am really loving this year tonight, and everyone else is too. I know there's more. I just kind of wanted to put that out there because it is a lot about, you know, that's sort of one of those words of karma sometimes that we think, you know, I get a lot of feedback that people think it's based on judgment, and it really isn't. But there are some universal principles that are in place that is bigger than you. And that's like my mama would tell me, some things are just bigger than you. It has nothing to do with you. So, yes, you may be on the right side of it or the left side of it, but it really is something, a bigger principle that really encompasses us on a macro level.
No question. No question.
Yeah.
There's this one brother whose work I read. His name is Alberto Villoldo. And he's done, you know, I think he's probably more connected, you know, to the ancestral prophecy through the Mayan lineage. It's not, you know, I can't even say just the Mayan lineage, you know, but the Mayan, the Hopi, and the Inca lineage in terms of, you know, these particular times, because he has direct access. You know, he actually has been able to talk to the ancestors, you know, through spiritual undertakings that he has made in these villages up in the Peruvian Andes, you know. And these individuals go back. They came, their ancestors came this way 32,000 years ago across the Bering Straits. Mm-hmm. And he found himself via the influence, you know, and connection of an anthropologist who took him up here into the Andes, into these villages, and he went in there, you know, and actually made very deep, profound contact with these people. And these people had, they practiced a type of medicine that they call luminous medicine. And luminous medicine is basically, they say that around all human beings is what is called the luminous matrix. And they're able to go into this matrix, because in that matrix is stored all of your information.
Yeah.
And they can go in that matrix, you know, and tell exactly what's out of balance and how to correct that.
Yeah.
They do the exact same thing with the planetary field, because the Earth also has a luminous matrix.
Yes, it does. Yes.
So they're able to read the luminous matrix of the Earth and tell exactly what is going to transpire and see this with absolute clarity.
Right.
So what's profound about these times that we're in, there's a lot of energy that is being manifested and put upon the planet right now. This energy is to serve as tools for those who are conscious and aware enough to embrace them and utilize them and aid these energetic frequencies in increasing the vibratory ratio of the planet Earth and therefore the consciousness on the Earth.
Right.
Now, the power in the sixth world, because with the coming of 2012, December 21st, through the Mayan tradition and the Hopi and the Inca, we now enter into the sixth world. The thing about the sixth world is that it hasn't really been written.
Right.
Which means that whatever level of intention you lay down in the sixth world, that's what it's going to embrace and bring to heart and manifest.
Yeah.
So
beautiful.
On one side, you have those that know that they want to write as much dark stuff in the sixth world as they possibly can, you know. Because the ledger is clean. There's nothing on the paper. You know,
right.
So our response, because we're being given tools. We're in a vibrational frequency in terms of galactic space. We're being showered with all of this incredible potential, you know, for the first time in thousands of years. Write your story.
And you know what? This is so divine, Brother Wayne. I'm so glad that you're on here to do this. And I know that this is a lot of your work that you've been doing probably before any of us really knew what this work was. So I did a show, and many of the Remix listeners will remember this, where I actually took you into a guided meditation, and I had everybody go and find the title of their book. They didn't know that that's what they were actually going for, but to get their new story.
That's
and we
great.
Did a series of shows that was about this new suit, this new story that was coming because of some downloads that I got from Spirit saying that this is the time that you can begin to write these things from the future. You can do it now and begin to lay these intentions so that you can send them out, so that you can get yourself into that alignment and not have yourself guessing, because there are going to be times that test you. I mean, this is a school. We're in school right now. We're in class. Earth is a class. And so, you know, with anything dealing with class, it's going to be ups and downs and all of this. So all of these tools is needed so that you can begin to write that. But that's what I was going to say when we were talking about them finding the new Mayan calendar, is that I truly believe that it did not exist. And the only reason I say that is because so much research and so much work has been done way before 2012 of everyone just really, really trying to find evidence or proof, to the point that there are some scholars, there are some researchers who have dedicated their whole life to finding parts of this calendar, really doing this is their work, the calendar,
right.
whether we want to say the Mayan calendar or any of these calendars, to really follow this. And so for them at the end of last year to come up with this calendar, the first thing that I came up with is that that calendar exists because the consciousness changed. Now, we know that there are so many different parts of the world that actually physically measure consciousness.
Right.
In every major city in the world, consciousness can be measured.
No
and for
question.
Those of us that are in tune with this consciousness, you can feel it. So many people, myself and others, right before Michael Jackson passed, which was a big part of everyone's consciousness, we felt it. Right before earthquakes, they showed how they measured before 9/11, before the Twin Towers went down, how they were able, scientists, to measure the consciousness. And so I truly believe that that Mayan calendar didn't exist, because up until this point, everything that we've known, probably from the late 30s to the 40s, they had already predicted that this would be it. There were other times that were kind of iffy, that they thought the world was going to end, but nothing as written in stone that they had something concrete to really focus on more than they did than the Mayan calendar and some of these other calendars showing that this was going to be it and sort of preparing ourselves for it. And I truly believe because of these things coming online, like you said, and having this aura feel that the whole universe can tap into now that so many people have access to, myself included, this is how the records got open, because they wasn't open before. You did have to go through a lot of these initiations and all of these things to even get this information.
Exactly.
But now it's open that you can get it, but it's a choice.
Yeah.
It is a choice. It's a commitment, but it's a choice.
Yeah. That's so profound, you know, because it does. And it speaks to, as our reality shifts, then new tools are being delivered.
Yes.
You know, so one of the things that Valdo speaks on is that between 2012 and the 10 years that follow, that this is our period to plant the kind of seeds of transformation to bring in all these new fields of dimensional consciousness that have been around us, but we have not been able to access before. And as we move and ascend from one particular plane of consciousness to another, then more doors open, just as what you're saying with respect to the finding of this new extension of the Mayan calendar, because a different door, a higher door of consciousness has made itself known and has opened amongst the human race.
Yeah. So it's so many things that's going to be coming up that really it is. It is the time of planting seeds. And even this month with, you know, Venus being in transit, which I talked about on Friday, Venus has already started the transit. It's already happening. The 5th and the 6th being very, very significant as far as the shift coming, because all of these things, the super moon that's going to be tomorrow, that's happening, that this is something that most of us on the planet can say. I have a relative that just had his 98th birthday, so he would have been close to it. But in the last 100 years, we have not seen anything, felt anything like it. And it truly is a different shift in the consciousness. So some important days to plant some seeds of intention. And like you were saying, we have a choice because we know.
I mean, this whole, and this is one of the things, and I sent you this because I knew you were dealing with the Venus transit, but I had gotten some information.
Yeah, I did get that during the show.
And it was pretty extensive, you know, but one of the things that it dealt with, the significance of this particular transit is that it initiates the beginning of the return, the true, authentic, cosmic or cosmological return of feminine power to the earth.
Yes.
And
when
you look at that, you know, when you look at our solar system, you know, from how I deal, like, energetically and in my practices and this and that, I understand that feminine energy has a certain way that it spins, and masculine energy has a certain way that it spins. So feminine energy, you know, has a counterclockwise spin. And when you look at our solar system, even though, you know, our planets go through various what we refer to as retrogrades when they spin in the opposite direction, just like the chakras, you know, of the human body, they spin in both directions, you know. Venus is the only planet in our solar system that has a counterclockwise spin consistently all of the time.
Download Friday's show, you guys. I did all of this with the solar plexus chakra, and I did it instinctively, not even really understanding that. So that's even more profound to me. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So what Venus is bringing to the table now, it's on.
It's on.
It's all about integration now.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Wow. Powerful. Brother Wayne Chandler, you guys, here live in the remix. I told you. Amazing your work, everyone. If you don't get a chance, you definitely need to catch Brother Wayne Chandler live. He does workshops. He does some very magical things with his wand. He doesn't like when I say that, but he does. he does some magical things with his crystal wand. You definitely want to make sure, if you can catch the trip going to Jamaica or going to any parts of the world where he is, it is definitely going to be a very enlightening and powerful trip for you as well. And also, you can email Brother Wayne Chandler, and you want to do that as well to find out about, because you have DVDs and everything that people can see if they're not able to sort of connect, correct?
I do, yes.
Yes. So you can go to phoenix9rising@hotmail.com as well, too. And he's going to be in Atlanta soon. So contact Brother Panic at atlantalectures@hotmail.com. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the Jamaica trip, for those individuals who are really, really interested in aligning themselves with the frequencies that we are now moving into, the Jamaica retreat is essential. I mean, it is very, very powerful for creating.
And what dates again?
Those dates are August the 9th through August the 16th. I mean, we do some really, really powerful work there. You know, so we do some very, very powerful work.
Yes.
And everyone that leaves there, I mean, they're changed, you know. I mean, and they have tools. They have viable, authentic tools that they can use on a daily basis to help create the realities that they want to have for themselves.
Beautiful, beautiful, and powerful. Wow, you guys. I don't know. What do you want to do next, Brother Wayne? You have some more information. You want to take some calls?
Sure, we can take some calls.
Okay, yes. Let's take some calls. 646-652-2711 is the number to call if you have a question for Brother Wayne Chandler. Press 1 once you get on the phone line so that we know that you're here with a question. For our international listeners, you can actually Skype in. So you can go ahead and Skype in if you're calling international as well. So we're going to go to the phone lines, take some calls. And as we continue right here, preparing for the shift and changes with Brother Wayne Chandler right here live on the Remix. So let's go to the first caller. It looks like calling in from area code 646. You're live in the Remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 646. They look like they're still listening. We'll go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 916. You're live in the Remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes, greetings.
Hi, this is Brandon calling from Sacramento.
Okay, greetings to you. You said Brandon?
Yeah.
Okay, greetings, Brandon. You have a question for Brother Wayne?
I was just listening in for that little giveaway that he said he was going to be giving away. I'll wait for that.
Okay, well, let me tell you something, and I'm so glad you called in, Brandon, to bring that up at this time. Yeah, you called in for the giveaway. Well, you got to do something to get the giveaway. You didn't think we was just going to give it away, right? So you might as well have it. I'm sure you have a question. So what is the question you have for Brother Wayne?
Is there any other techniques you can use for like meditation, like visual things I can visualize, like certain colors or anything?
Yeah, I mean that's a very good question because it really correlates to everything that we've been talking about this evening, especially like the last little bit of information that we were engaged in with respect to Venus and the Venus transits, because with the Venusian significance now, with Venus in transit creating, like initiating basically this new field of how we will begin to operate and bring symmetry and balance, you know, back to, you know, our consciousness, it also goes and feeds itself into how we want to achieve and what type of tools, you know, we want to utilize, what those tools look like at this particular time, with the feminine consciousness coming back into play, creating more and more balance. So one of the things that you have that most people are aware of in the West is Qigong. And Qigong basically deals with internal energy cultivation practices. But one of the things that has been really omitted and not dealt with is the Nigong. Now, Qigong is the masculine aspect of the internal energetic practice. Nigong is the feminine aspect of the internal energetic practice. The Nigong aspect of internal practice deals with visualization and how to basically manifest, you know, what you need to create for yourself through the tools of meditation and visualization, and how to apply with conscious intent certain vibrational signatures into your environment so that you can attract very specific things into your reality. So now, with the coming of this new Venusian energy, the Nigong dynamic is going to become really paramount. So we now have at our disposal more of an ability to take that which we intend and manifest it to create and attract to us the things that we really want to have. So Nigong practices, visualization falls in that category, are very, very powerful at this particular time and are going to become even more significantly powerful as the days and the months go on.
Oh, wow.
So I should get into the Nigong and Qigong then.
Yeah, definitely.
You sure should. I love that. Wow.
Okay.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, Brandon. Thank you so much
for
calling in.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, babe. Right. Thanks.
All right, now.
Peace and love. Ni Gong. I guess I was practicing that and didn't know. I'm going to have to get with you, brother Wayne. I need to do some more Ni Gong. I love
Ni Gong is it. I mean, that's
yes.
Because the Ni Gong deals with the very essence of our universal construct, which is based in holographics.
Yes.
You know, so everything is based in the whole idea that all of this is an illusion. So
right.
Ni Gong addresses that at its very essence, at its very core,
mm-hmm.
and gives
yes.
you the tool to reconstruct and recreate whatever it is you want.
Wow, and that I love that. That's what I do. I need to study that some more. Beautiful, beautiful. Going to the next caller. Calling in from area code 512. You are live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Yes, I'm finally in. I've been trying to get in since March. I've been trying to just get on this show. It hasn't let me in.
Well, welcome. We're glad you're here. You have a question for Brother Wayne?
Yeah, I actually wanted to say, my name is Michael. I've came on the show maybe like one time before. But greetings, Miss Blue, and greetings to Brother Chandler, Wayne Chandler.
Greetings.
Yes, how's it going, Michael?
It's going good. I'm actually a friend of Aleem Bey, and he's brought a lot of this knowledge. This is how I actually kind of channeled through here. I wanted to say, Brother Wayne Chandler, I just got your book today. I just ordered it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I was just like, that's no coincidence. I don't know why. I was going to either get the Kybalion by the Three Initiates, or then I was like, Ancient Future, and I was looking for, you know, like, teachings of Tahuti and you know, all the Egyptian gods and goddesses, and I was like, okay, I'm going to get the Ancient Future. But, yeah, I mean, because I'm kind of like an aspiring, I want to be, you know, kind of, I mean, it's to know, just to know, but also, like, I really might see myself, like, being a teacher of this one day or something, you know, like Aleem Bey or Brother Panic or, you know, Wayne Chandler or, you know, whoever.
Ooh, you got beautiful, beautiful dreams. That's beautiful.
I was wondering, you're not doing readings tonight, are you, Miss Blue?
No, I'm not. Not tonight. But, you know, what question do you have? You know, and that's beautiful. You know, I say that in a joke, but that's beautiful to have these dreams and really wanting to aspire to really have dreams. Maybe there's a question that's coming from inside of yourself that before you knew all of these amazing brothers that you had about yourself that you can ask the Brother Wayne Chandler, and he can share a lot of that information with you here tonight and how it will be impacting you over the course of the next coming years.
Okay. Let's see.
You're pushing him to go deep. Within each aspiration dwells the certainty of its own fulfillment. So you're already there. You're already there, my friend. You're already there.
Wow. And I'm actually taking a Qigong class this week. I'm learning three of the levels with my mother, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I was gonna ask. Okay, this is my dream. Now I don't know how it's gonna come together, but I feel like. Because I'm all about hip-hop. Like, hip-hop is where my heart is. I grew up in Austin, Texas. I didn't grow up in New York. I didn't grow up in California. I'm not
mm-hmm.
from the hood.
We got you.
But
mm-hmm.
I really feel like I could bring something great to hip-hop, to higher consciousness.
And you can.
Hip-hop.
And you can. You can. I say you can.
I really feel that's my dream.
Beautiful.
Then go for it, man, you know, within
yes.
each aspiration, you know. So
that's right.
I mean hip-hop, true, authentic, culturally stated hip-hop is basically a seedbed for those types of realities to be born. So, I mean, the environment is already, you know, manicured, you know, for you to go in and be able to, like, plant something like that. A lot of what people, like, call hip-hop, more times than not, a lot of this commercial rap, all of that's
yeah.
not hip-hop, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
hip-hop already, it has the spiritual, the political, the socio-cultural ingredients that really are about evolving consciousness. They're all there in hip-hop. So the fact that you're vibrating on an equation or an element that, or an ingredient that you can bring to enhance all of that in terms of how it's going to move in the short here and now, that's a beautiful and very powerful thing because you already see it. So, go for it.
Yeah, I think
exactly.
For it.
Well, the only thing that has, like, kind of pushes me away, well, I feel is because, like, I'm not from the hood, you know.
But hip hop, you don't have to be from the hood.
You don't have to be from the hood. Yeah, you don't have to be from the hood. And here's one of the things I want to leave you with. And thank you so much, Michael, for
mm-hmm.
calling in and just sharing this with us as well. But I'll leave you with this, and just to tell you this: if that's your dream, if that's truly what's in your heart, set your intentions for it. You can go back, you can listen to my show, you can reach out to Brother Wayne Chandler, email him at phoenix9rising@hotmail.com as well. But definitely, if that is your dream, let it be. Don't say the only thing, because now that takes away from what is going to be in the future from the past. Let it be. If you were bold enough, if you were bad enough to dream the dream, then allow yourself the opportunity to live it and not stifle yourself by giving yourself an excuse of why it can't be. So in a sense, you're trying to talk yourself out of something that you want to do by doing that. Know there will always be obstacles and challenges, but your goal is just to integrate all of it and just live your dream. Live
no
it.
Question.
You're on your way. Live it.
Exactly.
Yeah, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say one more thing because I did do a little song and Aleem Bey played it on his show. And what we were looking at is like Aleem Bey and myself getting in the studio and producing a music video for the conscious community and, you know, those that
and
are interested.
And you know what? Michael, I'm going to stop you right there. I think that's beautiful, and I'd love to hear more about it. I love Brother Aleem Bey. He's been a guest on here, too. And so it seems like your dream has already been planted. So live it. Live it. Live it.
Yeah, man. Just go for it. You're already there. You got one foot in already.
You got it. And with Dr. Aleem Bey behind you, who could be against you? Go for it. Take on Drake. Take on Lil Wayne. Go for it. Go for it. All right.
Thank you so much.
Love to you. You're welcome,
peace
and thank
love.
You for calling
Take
in.
Take care.
No problem.
All right, beautiful. We're going to go to the next caller, calling in from area code 330. You're live in the remix. Please turn off your computer speakers. Okay, they're not there. Calling in from area code 805. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello, good night, Ms. Wu. Hello, Brother Wayne.
Hello, good
How's
night.
Going?
Yes, it's Griffin calling from Jamaica. How are y'all doing?
Oh, man, you're calling from Jamaica? Right on,
yes,
brother.
Yes, sir.
mm-hmm.
Our chermoyas in season yet? Our sweet sop in season yet?
Sweet sop. No, it's not. It's not yet. But by the time you get here, you'll get it, though.
Okay, man. Okay, hold it down for me. I'm coming.
All right. My question at first, which now I have two questions. Well, my question is, how do you suggest doing the breath work, the healing breath exercises. How do you suggest going through it in that order, like from top to bottom, from back to butt, you know, how do you suggest doing it? And that's question number one. And question number two is, could you be able to give us a little more on a Qigong, like an exercise, if possible?
The first question, you know, you want to sit in a comfortable position, and that doesn't mean that your legs are folded, because you want the energy to flow. One of the things, because yoga has become so much of an external practice now, more of a practice that lends itself to physicality rather than internal energetic cultivation, you know, a lot of the poses, you know, that you would get into to really generate and move energy aren't practical, you know, for really moving and generating energy. So you don't want to sit in a lotus posture. You don't want to sit cross-legged. You just want to sit in a chair, you know, with the feet aligned in a 90-degree angle, you know, with the knees. Sit there, very relaxed. And you want to first engage the breath from the lower abdomen. So you want to be able to breathe from the lower abdomen. Inhale, stomach goes out. Exhale, stomach comes in. Inhale, stomach goes out. Exhale, stomach goes in. Then you want to connect the tip of the tongue. Now, after you connect the tip of the tongue, and you have the rhythm of the lower abdomen moving in and out, you then, at that point, want to create the breath ratio that you want to use. Now, you can use 7, inhale, hold 1, 7, exhale, hold 1. Or you can use 6, inhale, hold 3, 6, exhale, hold 3. So that's for the breathing technique. Now, you can also, you know, if you're familiar with alternate nostril breathing, you can also use this same technique and do alternate nostril breathing with it. So you would close off one particular nostril and inhale 7, hold 1, exhale 7, hold 1. You would keep doing that on one side for 9 breaths, 9
okay.
complete breaths.
Okay.
And then you would switch the other nostril and do the exact same ratio.
Okay, and for the healing sounds, you just do it wherever you feel you need to. There's no rule.
For healing sounds, for a healing sound, you know, depending on which healing sound you want to use, there are Qigong components to all of the healing sounds. You know, so the Qigong component to all of the healing sounds is visualization of the color, because every particular organ has a specific color that's associated with it. You know, so when you inhale, you want to visualize that particular color coming into the body. And then when you exhale, based on the sound that you're doing, you want to visualize this sooty, smoky, dark energy leaving the body.
Right. Got it.
Yes. And definitely a lot of this is things that, Brother Chandler, do you have some DVDs on some of these particular topics where people who are wanting more information can get with you to find out? Or you can actually go to one of your conferences or workshops.
Yeah, I mean, where in Jamaica are you located?
Well, I live in Kingston.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm in Montego Bay, where I do the workshops. So, I mean, yeah, bounce on over, man.
Yes, sir, definitely.
And bring some sweet sop with you when you come.
You know, yeah, I will.
I'm just teasing you, man. But I'm going to tell you something. That's one of the most amazing fruits on the planet Earth. Like during the wintertime here, I have them shipped from California. There's an organic grower there in California, in Vista, California, that grows them organically. He has a farm that just grows tropical fruit. And, I mean, it's a piece of heaven. And
wow,
what they do with respect to building, you know, the kidney energy and just, you know, that whole reproductive connection in terms of, like, just life force, they're second to none in terms of a fruit.
Okay.
You didn't know that, did you?
No, like this, I'm here saying, what? Okay. I've got to get on it more. I'm here thinking how many other fruits are here like that, you know, that take for granted.
Yeah, man. No, I'm telling you, man, that, you know, but don't eat them all before I get there. That's all I ask.
Oh, but what's the giveaway? Is it a DVD or something like that?
The giveaway is not actually a DVD. This time, Brother Wayne is gifting a listener, very special listener, energetic healing session. What is it called, Brother Wayne?
Remote mm-hmm. healing session.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tune up.
Yes.
Okay.
Tune up, yeah.
All right.
I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all know I'm silly. All right, we're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 646, you're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Good night, Miss Blue. Good night, Ray Chandler. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Hi. Good night.
My name is Lanisha, and I'm calling from Repulse, New York.
Yes, you have a question for Brother Wayne?
Yes, I do have a question. The whole lecture that you basically did, I'm fascinated with time, and I've always told myself that time like never existed. But I also wanted to know more about the Big Bang. Your theory on, not your theory, but basically what do you have to say about the Big Bang? Do you feel that the Big Bang was like inflation of the universe, or how do you feel about that?
Well, that's a good question because, I mean, it gets into some of what my personal philosophies are with respect to how this particular culture can even begin to think that they can comprehend the beginnings and the origins of anything when they can't even cure the common code. So I don't take much of anything that they say seriously when it comes to what we would call galactic phenomena, because I just look at where they are within their own consciousness. And for them to expand and stretch to a place of, you know, what their expressed intellectual prowess to think that they can really get a grip or a grasp on how this universe was created via divine source when they really don't even believe in divinity, you know, is it's too heavy for me to grasp. And one of the things that I would say is that when you look at this particular culture, it bases all of its information on what we refer to as the scientific method. The scientific method is a construct that fits only into the left hemisphere of the brain, which means that it's very limited in terms of its scope of acquiring information. It means that there's a whole field of information that is out there that because of where it sits, it is not privy to and cannot fathom or have an understanding of it. You know, so the fact that so much of what we get in terms of theory or theorems, you know, or how we postulate our reality is based on the scientific method, so much of our information is just, you know, to put it, you know, very matter-of-factly half-ass. You know, so when it comes to the Big Bang Theory and a lot of the other theories that they have, what, you know, they're talking about, they, you know, can look to the other end of the universe, and I'm like, please, you know.
We can't even make it out of our solar system.
No, we can't, you know, I mean, there's so little we know even in terms of our own being. You know,
right.
I mean,
that's true. Yes.
I read an article yesterday. It said that by 2030, cancer globally was going to increase by 75%.
Mm.
Now, what that makes me think about are all the billions, or really at this point, trillions of dollars that goes into cancer research.
The research, yeah.
And all these cancer institutions all over the earth. And yet it's increasing at such a rapid rate that by 2030, 75% of the planet is going to be affected. And I'm thinking, well, then what's going on? You know, I mean, what are our tax dollars doing? You know,
where is everything? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then in the next breath, they're going to talk about their ability to span the universe and see beyond this galaxy into the other side of the universe, and that the universe began like, you know, no, I'm sorry.
I
don't buy it for a minute.
Yeah, I don't. And we know that all of these things really start in the mind, and that's another reason why modern medicine doesn't even seek to cure it, because there is no cure, because they don't really treat you holistically, like holistic medicine. For one, cancer has been rooted in a long-held-on resentment. You know, it's really about those things of hurt that just begin to start eating inside of you, which is something that really exists in all of us. This is the purpose of the work, so you can allow that energy to release itself from you and not form and build up within you and form these cells or turn these cells into cancer. You know, the root of cancer, I remember my aunt telling me once, is can't. You know, this is why it's so important that mothers tell their children and fathers, don't say can't. Don't say, I can't do that, because that is the root of cancer. It starts with what you can't have, what you can't do, what you can't see, what you can't let go of. You know, some people say, I just can't forgive him, or I can't forgive her. You know, I just can't forget what happened to me. All of this is where all of that cancer lies. So looking to them to treat you, they can treat you, Western medicine, once it, you know, manifests itself into this physical reality, but then you're dealing with something very hard to do. This is why it's so important, the science and the work and the spiritual work that Brother Wayne Chandler teaches and that he has lived his life, is so important to understand these principles and understand these things, because it stops these things from manifesting themselves into this reality. I know you were listening earlier when Brother Chandler told us the prediction about how these thoughts are manifesting themselves like faster and faster. You can think something today and 10 minutes from now it happens. You know, at one time that was almost like playing dice. You know, what are the chances that you roll a double, a roll of seven? You wouldn't get it. But now it's happening more and more, because the universe is sort of treating us almost like we're doing talking like dolphins almost, or using that vibrational frequency where it's bouncing back at us so quickly. So these negative thoughts, and of course they resonate on a very low frequency, but so does this existence. And so when you have these two things coming together, it's important to recognize that your mind, you know, and not just talking about it from a physical point of where you think, because the left brain does play a point, but it should not be the point of inception, because you
yeah,
do want
exactly.
to bring it in through the right hemisphere and then articulate it out, because through the mouth, the words that you speak, but even before the words you speak, the thoughts that you truly think is really where these seeds get planted. So, I just wanted to add that.
And that's powerful. I mean, that's powerful, you know. And just to take that right and left hemispheric concept with respect to the Big Bang Theory, I want you to think about as above, so below. So I want you to go into how, you know, you experience and know of how life is born and delivered, you know, through a woman's body. You know, because it's feminine energy that lies at the basis of all creation. You know, so a feminine force is not going to produce the Big Bang. That's a masculine intent. That's a masculine, you know, manifestation of how it sees something coming in to the creative process through a huge explosion or coming in violently. You know, that's not how we experience birth. That's not how we experience things being brought into being, you know. It's not a violent eruption, you know, that explodes all over the place. You know, so you have to think about, like, you know, the whole dynamic of as above, so below, and think about the process, you know, the birthing process, and then apply that in a cosmic perspective.
Okay.
She said, okay. I know. When Brother Wayne Chandler talk, we listen.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. Just so much knowledge and so much information. Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you. Peace and love to you. Peace and love. Beautiful. We're going to go to the next caller calling in from area code. It looks like 917. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes, greetings.
Hi, I can't believe I finally got through. I'm actually just listening right now, but I too would like for you to talk about the trip, the Jamaica trip. That sounds really interesting. And the 16th is my birthday, so it would be really nice to spend my birthday getting some knowledge and some spiritual work done.
Beautiful, beautiful.
So if possible, Brother Chandler, would you mind talking about the trip?
Oh, no, not at all. The trip is, you know, it's 7 days of work, and it's all based on the cultivation of internal practices. In the mornings, we do begin with a yoga session. Every retreat, I bring someone in who's very learned, you know, in yoga, which basically I use to condition the physical body that prepares, you know, the body for the internal practices that we're going to do for the rest of the day. What I can do is I can send you a flyer that I have via your email address that breaks down, you know, the whole philosophy of the retreat, its intent, you know, what it's designed to do. It has a very powerful design that's based in first dealing with the organs of the human body, you know, because a lot of what happens needs to begin there in terms of recreating stability and balance, you know, in the human body and consciousness, you know, because you can't really have that if your emotional fields, you know, are out of sync or out of balance. So one of the things that we begin with is just learning how to balance and stabilize the various emotional fields of the human body. And we do that through a series of different practices, techniques that utilize sound as well as different types of movements. I mean, the retreat itself is very, very full, you know. It's
so
just
too late to sign up for it?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I really haven't. I mean, I've got like 6 people already that have signed up for it. I only take 18 people per retreat, and I've got 6 that have signed up, but I haven't even started advertising the retreat yet. I haven't sent out. Yeah, I haven't even sent out the flyers yet.
Okay, so how would I get my email to you? I would like a flyer.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can send the email. You want me, I'll give you Brother Wayne Chandler, if it's okay with him, I'll give you his email address. It is Phoenix.
Okay.
Phoenix, the number 9, rising@hotmail.com.
Okay. I'll get that when I listen back to the show. Thank you very much. I really appreciate the work you're doing, Ms. Blue, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
All
thank
right.
you very much.
Peace and love, and thank you so much for calling in. And, yes, a good point. And just to let everybody know that you can be at any place in your work, on your path, on your spiritual path. Like, this is not something that is, you don't have to want to be a yoga master to come to this. Correct, Brother Wayne? This
no,
is
not
for
at
anybody
all, you know.
Who just wants to get into the work. So it doesn't matter whatever your modality is. This is something that everyone can really take away a lot of richness from. A lot of the Remix family members have went to these retreats before and left comments as well, too. So you guys, definitely, if you went, I know you guys have reached out to me. And so everyone I know has, it's really been life-changing for them. So if you're thinking about going, maybe you're not sure, maybe you want to find out more information, whatever it is, you don't want to miss the chance. Reach out to Brother Wayne Chandler, Phoenix, the number 9, rising@hotmail.com, so you can have all the information that you need so you can begin to sort of make your choices from there. But I'm sure you guys will love it. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I break the everything that we do is using like a formula, you know, and it's a formula that
right.
I've created that really I've seen over the years has great impact. And, you know, you come there, you learn how to feel energy, you learn how to feel the energy of other things in your environment, you learn how to feel your own energy. And when I say that, I literally mean feeling energy. So when you put your hand out, you can feel the different vibrational sensations and resonances that come from different things. And the more you do that through the practices that you learn, then you can tell what is a negative energy or what is an energy that is very positive and more conducive, you know, to your nature of being, or an energy that you want to just, you know, stay away from. You know, we deal with energetic cleansing. We deal with what I refer to as the cultivation practices, and these are internal mind-body practices which rapidly build life force, chi, prana, whatever you want to call it, in the human body. And once you cultivate and build this force, then you can apply and utilize this force in a variety of different ways to impact your everyday being, your everyday reality. The other level that we work with is called energetic transference, and this deals with just basically allowing the people that come into the program to actually move the cultivated energy that they've created in the body, and they can move this energy from one part of their body to another area that may be of low vitality or may have a specific imbalance there. So you learn how to literally move energy from one part of your body to another that may be in need or want of that of that particular amount of vitality. You know, so there's a lot that we deal with. We deal with chakra activation. And, you know, these are practices that I take everyone through, which focuses on activating the Ajna chakra, the heart chakra, and the crown chakra.
Beautiful.
You know, so, I mean, when people, you know, when I'm asked, well, you know, what do you do on the retreat? I'm like, wow. <You
know? laughs> It's so much. Yeah,
it is.
So much.
You know, and that's why, you know, I like to say I'll send you a flyer because you can,
right, all of that
is on the flyer. You can read it for yourself, and then you can really get a sense of what it is that is being done. And once you read it on the flyer and you get a sense of what we do, you'll be like, sign me up.
Right. All right. Let's see. It's a couple of questions that's coming from the chat room, but the phone lines are still filled up. So we'll get to you guys in the chat room. And we'll get to you guys in the chat room in just a moment. People are PMing me. They really want to go on this trip. So, again, you guys, you got the information. Phoenix, the number 9, rising at hotmail.com. So definitely make sure that you get yourself over and email Brother Wayne Chandler as well. So here's a question. I'm going to ask this. This question comes from the chat room here. The question is, what do you do to harness dark energy? And so the question, I said, you know, go a little bit deeper in what you mean by harnessing dark energy. And so Dark Goddess said, the energy frequency beyond the light frequency. I'm going to let you address that.
Okay. Just state that one more time.
Okay. The question was, what can they do to harness dark energy? So I asked him to specify, what exactly do you mean by dark energy?
Yeah.
And she said, the energy frequency beyond the light frequency. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me say this.
Well, I'll say this, because she's talking about quantum physics, but I think the placement of the words and the terminology is a little different.
A whole nother aspect of her being may be operating,
right,
and forming that particular question.
Right.
Because going back to 2012, when you look at, you know, the Mayan prophecy is based on the alignment between three galactic factors.
Right.
One factor is a dark hole which sits at the center of our galaxy that they call Xibalba. The other is dealing with, you know, the whole Xibalba is like it's like a gigantic black hole. You know,
right.
But they say that in this black hole, this dark energy emanates from, and they say that it's the place where nothing escapes, not even light. So December 21st, 2012, there's the perfect alignment between the Earth, the Sun, and Xibalba, this black hole that operates in the center, you know, of the universe of the Milky Way. Now, Xibalba is the place of fear. It's the place of darkness.
Yeah.
But the way they interpret the darkness and the fear is that it's a positive thing, because they say that it's such a terrifying place where you die to your old identity and then you
right.
are resurrected, reborn.
Right.
So
yeah.
when you begin to pull in the darkness,
yes.
going beyond the light, you have to remember that within the dark, the elements of light exist anyway.
Anyway, yes, that's what I was going to say. It's there too, so yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So when
and
you,
I guess...
Go ahead.
No. I was
no, because you're on something. I don't want to break your thought. Go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Thank you for allowing me to say this. What I was going to say, when you explain it that way, it makes sense to talk about dark matter. That's one of the things that where the premise of what I talk about knowing your magic is all about. It's about living with a purpose. And in order for you to do that, you do have to go into the dark. Now, harnessing the dark, for me, I just wouldn't have used that word, but I think I understand now what the sister was saying. I wouldn't say harness the dark, but we know that in darkness is where you find the light. This
that
is where you come into
so
the light.
So true. So true.
Yes. So you have to go into the dark. Everything that you were talking about when you said Nigong is about getting into the feminine side, the visualization, you know, all of this going within is really harnessing dark matter. That's how I just processed that.
No question.
This is the dark matter. So you can
yeah.
get into it by doing those things and really studying those principles. A lot of the exercises when it comes to visualization, doing those things, really going in. I do a lot of the body scans, taking opportunities to go within, and not just from an energetic point of view, but also from a physical point of view. You know, begin to look at some of those things that really is your dark side, because we all have a shadow side, you know. We go through a solar eclipse internally. That's how come we can see it on the external side, because we have this time where the dark and the light have to meet. And this is what I believe that this time is really calling forth, is that you have to not just bring sort of that side that you want to show the world, that we can call it the right-hand path, which is what you show the world, but you have to bring the left-hand path and really bringing the best of both of those worlds and bringing it together, because the energy of Venus is about love, it's about honesty, it's about bringing forth these attributes when we talk about the divine feminine. That really brings these things to the surface in a very authentic way. So when I think about harnessing that darkness and getting into that darkness, it's about being truly authentic,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
You know, being authentic, you know? And you can do that energetically. You can do that through the foods that you eat. You can do that through all of your spiritual practices. It really is about where we are. It's a lot of the things that you talked about at the beginning of the show. It's about coming into that place. So in a sense, we are learning how to harness the darkness within us, you know?
Yeah,
and
for
I
sure.
think physically we're going to experience some more dark times.
Yeah. Yeah, we are, you know. I mean, we're going to go in terms of how we're going to perceive them. We'll perceive them as being dark times, but they're really going
right.
to be taking us closer
yes.
and closer to the light, you know.
To the light.
And the other thing with the darkness is that, you know, darkness has been used because the best way to activate and stimulate the release of certain chemical compounds in the pituitary and the pineal gland, you know, is through darkness. To get the pineal gland to release dimethyltryptamine, which expands consciousness,
yeah.
you know, is
yeah.
best done in darkness. And this is why in even, you know, modern times or recent times, you know, the so-called sages would seek out caves,
yeah.
you know, to do their
yeah.
practices in. People always thought that they were going into these caves to get away from humanity, to get away from the
and
world, to become
it.
Isolates.
Yeah.
But that's
yeah.
not why they went into the caves. They went into
right.
the caves because in the cave was total darkness. And in
mm-hmm.
that darkness, they were able to do specific types of meditations and breathing practices, which activates the pituitary and the pineal gland. Now, on my retreats, we don't have no caves. So, but what I use are these special goggles that are going across the face, which completely and totally blocks out light. And then we do specific practices which activates the pituitary gland.
Beautiful.
And so the darkness is, you know, we use the darkness in that way. You know,
right.
So, yeah.
Beautiful.
So that's one of the ways you can use the darkness, you know, to go beyond the light, to get the light.
That's right. To get to the light. That's it. That's beautiful. Beautiful. Love it. We're going to keep going, you guys. Brother Wayne Chandler is here. If you guys... Hey, I see you PMing me telling me to ask Brother Wayne some questions. 646-652-2711. Call, ask Brother Wayne yourself, or go to Jamaica and you can ask him in person. So we're going to keep going right here live in the remix, and we're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 229, you're live in the remix.
Hello.
Yes, greetings. Who's on the line, please?
Yo, this is Icy.
Greetings, Icy. Icy, why do you always call in and have that going on in the background? Why you do that, Icy?
Because I don't even expect to get on the line.
Okay,
yes,
Icy,
what question?
I know you must have one, but can you get us a little quieter there, Icy, so we can hear you?
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can. All right. What's your question for Brother Wayne?
Yes. When it comes to meditation, like, is there like certain foods that you should take out of your diet or anything?
Well, there's certain foods that you don't want to use that overly excite organ function. This is the thing with meditation. A lot of people, I had a yoga teacher once that came to me and said, you know, I've been trying to meditate, and I've just been having a very difficult time in doing that. And she said, I went to my teachers, who are really famous yoga practitioners, you know, up in New York, and she said, I asked them, you know, how to meditate. And they told me just to sit and just meditate. You know, just sit down and be quiet and just breathe. And so what that told me is that they really don't know how to meditate. You know, they've never really done it themselves. So one of the first things you want to do with respect to meditation, you know, is you want to create an inner environment of peace and tranquility. Now, think about this. Every organ in your body, and this is more important than the food of what you might consume. Every organ in your body corresponds to an emotional frequency. Most of those emotional frequencies that we absorb and retain are low base or negative based emotional frequencies, which generate a lot of agitation in the various emotional bodies in those particular organs. So when a person who is really trying to go into a state of meditation sits to go into meditation, all of a sudden, all of these different emotional, vibrational frequencies just begin to just, you know, run amok throughout the mind. And they begin to think about a million and one different things. So besides the type of foods, of not eating foods that may be overstimulating, what's even more important is to reduce the level of emotional stimulation that you have in your body when you go into a meditative state, because the more you can release, you know, those low base emotional frequencies, that you can clear those emotional fields of the corresponding organs, of the easier it's going to be for you to move into a meditative state.
So you're saying reduce emotional stress before you get into it?
Exactly.
Okay.
And any type of food, you know, the foods, you know, you want to stay away from what they refer to as tamasic, you know, foods that are like too overly stimulating or spicy, foods of that nature, you know, because, you know, they don't lend themselves, you know, to a proper, you know, meditative environment.
We got a little feedback from Icy.
Yeah, a whole lot of feedback.
Yeah.
You know. I was getting ready to do some Jimi Hendrix.
So, but I think Icy got his question answered. Thank you so much. Thank you, Icy, for calling in. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in, it looks like, from area code 864. You're live in the remix.
Hey.
Please tell us who you are. 864.
I thought it was 843.
864?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, your area code is 864, not 863. Yeah, that's you. You're live in the remix.
How y'all doing?
Doing well, brother.
Fine.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Okay.
I'm just wanting to know, I had a dream, and in the dream, basically, I was in a home, and I heard a boom, and my whole body turned caught on fire. And I burned up, and I just want to know, was that my cooling energy rising, or was that something even more deeper that I need to understand within myself?
You know, I'm fair on dream analysis, but without really having a sense of you know, how you move in your life and what you encounter, you know, on a daily basis or even in any given week, you know, I mean, I'm going out on a limb. But one of the things I would say is when you talk about the home, you are in a home. The home is usually you, you know, so that is the house. You are the house.
Yes.
You
yes.
know, so if you're dealing with something that is dealing with internal combustion, you know, which is what you're saying, you know, you have to look at the nature and the significance of fire, you know. So fire is about, you know, breaking down, and it's about rebirth. It's about the journey of the phoenix, you know. The
mm-hmm.
journey of the phoenix moves through the element of fire. That's how it's reborn, and you know, every 500 years, you know, it burns itself up, sets itself ablaze, you know, so that it can be reborn anew. So I would say that just from a very superficial level, without having a lot of information about you or anything that you may be involved in, that particular dream was very symbolic, you know, of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because I just want to thank you, Ms. Blue, just for your knowledge and just for awakening, because I've been dead for so long and I didn't know myself, my Aunt Esther's, and you know, just like the other caller calling the remix family.
Right.
I was doing music since I was 3 years old, damn, with my mama pots and everything like that, and I kind of suppressed it because I was afraid to really
Aww.
Live without myself and be myself. And what advice do y'all have on, just like with the previous caller, about living your dream, Miss Blue and Brother Wayne Chandler? And I just want to do it and bring my ancestors into it also.
Oh, you are so sweet. What was your name again? I'm sorry, I didn't catch
Arthur.
That. What's your name?
Arthur.
What is it?
Arthur.
Well, okay, yeah. Arthur, thank you so much for calling in and really expressing that. You know, it's an honor to have you listen to the remix, and I'm glad that you're finding light in the work that we do. Two things that I'll say to you, because we have just a few moments before we go into the after hours here. I want to say, as far as that dream with fire, let me ask you, you just recently had some problems on your job?
Yes, I did have some problems on my job recently with my boss, some things that wasn't that wasn't right that they were trying to do, and the universe rectified actually. But but that was one thing that was going on my job. You actually right.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to tell you, I don't have time to do a full reading here, but just because you're so sweet, email me, and I'll just let you know, because that had a lot to do with that dream and that fire. So everything that Brother Wayne Chandler gave you with the fire, all of that, but I want you to just think about that as it has to do with what happened on your job, because I've seen that whole situation with you and the boss and everything in the big, thinking you did some things you didn't, but we can talk about that, okay? And what I will say to you is definitely go back into the archives. Brother Wayne Chandler has been on here several times. He's given out a lot of information here, so graciously given out information that you can download for free. Download that, the shows from myself and many others that have come on the remix. That is very powerful that you can get. You know how to reach out to me, just questionforblue@gmail.com, and we can do that. I want to kind of get to the other callers, but what I'll leave you with at this time is just to let you know that at this particular time, one of the things that would do you so much is just to be present in the now. Just be present. Enjoy. Think about all the things in your life at this time that you are truly grateful for at this particular moment in your life. And that's just going to bring a smile to your face, and that's going to open up so many doors for you. Just really recognizing where you are now, all the things that you've accomplished, and accepting this moment as being perfect and exact so that you can continue to move forward in the future. And
brother, family, it made an honor to continue to bless y'all and y'all work. And I'm sorry that I took up your time. And
No reason to be sorry. You are a blessing to us. No reason to be sorry. It's just an honor to know that you're out there and that you did get in to call in. So I thank you for that. I thank you so much. Peace and love.
I thank you. All love and peace and blessing to both of you.
Peace and blessing, thank you, brother. Aw, that touched my heart, as always. We're going to go to the next caller. But first, Brother Wayne, we have 4 minutes and 10 seconds counting down. We know time don't exist, but Blog Talk says it does. So we're following their rules at this time, but we are going to go into the after hours, if that's okay with you. But I want you to kind of just close out those who may not be able to get in on the phone lines that have to download the show. Again, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. It is always an honor and to have you on here. I love you so much, Brother Wayne. I love your work. I love everything that you do. Your energy is very well received. And you're always welcome here. So I want you to just kind of give us some lasting words as we get ready to go into the after hours.
Well, first I'd like to say that's a door, you know, that swings both ways, you know, for sure. I guess what I would say is that in terms of everything that we have talked about this evening, and it's about creating, you know, a different reality for ourselves. And it's really about, you know, stepping outside of the box and not be fearful, you know, or even if you are fearful, mm-hmm. use the fear in a positive manner, you know, to motivate you, to move you, you know, into some place that is unknown, and know that you are guided, know that you are protected, that none of us are here alone, you know, doing this, you know,
right.
and that once you begin to move outside of the box, there are so many different guides that are waiting for you to show you a different way, and that way can be whatever it is that you desire and design for yourself. I like to leave everybody with just something just to ponder like this statement that no problem can be solved in the state of consciousness at which it was created. No problem can be solved in the state of consciousness at which it was created. So you've got to move, you've got to evolve, you've got to step outside the box.
There it is. Ooh, spoken from the true master, Brother Wayne Chandler, right here live on the remix, you guys. It's about 1 minute and 20 seconds left to go. You know what I'm going to tell you guys. Download, download, download. Download this show and all the shows of the remix shows. If you like it, I want you to go over to Facebook. I want you to leave a comment. I want you to like it there. Like it on Twitter as well, too. If you love it, I want you to love it and send a comment. Leave a comment. Send those comments out. Put it up on the Remix Family page. tweet it out on Twitter or send me an email at question4blue@gmail.com. Much love, warm spirit. Peace and love to all of you guys. See you guys next week, Friday. You know how we do, live in the remix. We're going to keep going for a little bit here in the after hours. You got about 30 seconds to get in. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Look forward to seeing you guys in the readings this week. They are sure to be out of this world. So we'll get outside the box even more. Peace and love, you guys. We're going to keep going. We're going to go catch the next caller on the line, calling in from area code 678. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Sandra calling from Atlanta.
Greetings, Sandra from Atlanta.
Hi. I have a question. I've been sitting here for about 30 minutes trying to formulate it in my head, like how to say it, but I'm just going to come out and say whatever, however it comes out. I have a question about women and their cycles during all the things that are going on in the heavens right now. And I wanted to know if there was any information about changes that are happening in our bodies and how we can take advantage of those changes during transformation?
For sure. I mean, the body is definitely changing, and those changes are very powerful and profound. One of the things that I teach, you know, all of my female students, one of the first things I teach is just how to deal with controlling the amount of blood that they lose or release, you know, because there are ways that a woman, you know, can do that. And this is so much, you know, because just as what semen is to a man, that's what blood is to a woman. So I say that in the sense that the body takes energy or semen and alchemically transforms that semen into pure life force. It does the exact same thing with the blood in a woman's body. It takes the blood and it transforms that yin essence, that blood essence, into pure life force. You know, so in the higher practices, you really don't want to have a cycle that is going to move you into, like, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 days, you know, of bleeding, because at that pace, you know, you're no longer,
yeah.
it's not a menstrual cycle, you're hemorrhaging. And with that hemorrhaging effect or condition taking place in the body, there are a lot of other things that are going on with your organs, you know, that are being put into a place of really deep distress, you know, and there's the release of cortisol, there's the release of excess adrenaline. You have a lot of different hormonal factors that are being exhibited during that time, you know, when you're hemorrhaging like that. So you want to really, you can use diet, which will take the blood letting down, you know, to really you want to have about, you know, 1.5, 2 days max of bleeding, and that's really it. You know, once you go over the 2 day mark, then things get really kind of touchy in terms of your overall health.
Okay.
So yeah, there are practices that you can do, that you can learn, you know, which will decrease the amount of blood you lose monthly down to like 1.5 to 2 days and put you more in flow, you know, with a universal rhythm.
Oh, okay. And there are also breathing techniques that can do that as well?
Yeah, well, part of this is there's a breathing technique that is part and partisan to that particular practice that I was speaking of.
Okay.
There's one of my students is in Atlanta. You're in Atlanta?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Yeah, one of my students is in Atlanta, and, you know, she works with teaching women the female practices there.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so what I would do is, like, Facebook her. Her name is Anika Francis.
Okay.
And just Facebook her and just tell her you spoke to me on the remix and what you want to do.
Beautiful.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thank you so much for calling in. Peace and love. All right, we're going to continue here. Great question, actually, because it's a question that comes up a lot. And one of the things I'll ask you that I found, and tell me if this is sort of consistent, is that when you begin to bring these things into alignment, dealing with the whole body, the mind, the body, and the spirit, that will naturally begin to
regulate
its own system.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And that's what the internal, I mean, those practices do, because they're working to, like, bring you into a whole body regulatory effect, you know.
Right. Yeah, because that is one way, definitely, I know for myself, I can tell when things are out of sync because of that, because that is a mechanism that really impacts us as women, you know. So, yeah, beautiful, beautiful question. We're going to go to the next caller calling in. It looks like from area code 917. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
This is Sasha. I just actually got through.
Okay, Sasha.
Yeah, I'm actually still listening in because I wanted to win that gift.
Okay.
So.
Oh, we didn't give away the gift. You're right.
No,
okay, thank you for that.
One.
Okay, we're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 985, you're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes, 985. Who's on the line, please?
Hi, my name is Darlene, and I'm calling from Louisiana.
Darlene. Greetings, Darlene, from Louisiana.
My question for you is, I'm going through changes, like, in career, and I want to know, I've been trying to pass a certain test, and I want to know, will I be able to pass it? I've been studying hard, I've taken it twice, and I just get there and I get nervous.
Okay. Darlene, was the question for Brother Wayne Chandler or for me?
No, that's for you.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's for you.
Brother Wayne said, no, that's for you. Okay.
I'm sorry. It's for you.
Okay. Well, Darlene, here's the thing, and I'm not going to spend too much time, but you can definitely email me on this. Let me just ask you a question, because I see you working in the healthcare industry. Is that where you work?
Right.
Yes. Okay, you can pass the test. One of the things that's happening is that you're going into your studying, and keep in mind, I'm just going to give you this mini right here, but one of the things that's happening when you're going to take this test is you're going in with the mindset that you're going to pass it, if that makes sense.
Right.
We kind of been talking about this. I don't know how much of the show you heard, but Brother Wayne Chandler talked about this earlier, about really it's requiring us to sort of step outside of our box and really come into the place that we can begin to recognize that it's okay to be in the mystery. You know, it's okay. Because if you're coming from that honest place within your heart and you're really being true to that, then you're going to be able to reflect what you're putting out. So here's what I would recommend you do. One, you have had a couple of people offer to help tutor you, and you've kind of turned them down in a sense. I want you to be open to that. I want you to be open to asking for help, because that's a big thing. You're a helper, and I know myself, I'm a helper. And typically when we're helpers, it's really hard, or I should say givers, to really receive. You have to really get into this position that everything that we're talking about here is about. It's about being in the position of the feminine energy, which is about receiving. It's about being open to receive, being open to say that you don't know. That obviously,
okay,
whatever it is you thought you knew about studying, because this is what this is about. This is not about whether or not you have the skills to do the job. Of course you do. But this is about you do not have the foundational things when it comes to learning how to study or test. And so okay. you need to get with mentors that can help you study and be okay with saying, I don't know. And once you open up and just be able to receive that message, you'll pass it. So that's what I say. So can you pass it? Of course you can. But you have to let go of going in thinking, I know this and that I'm going to pass.
Okay.
Don't look at it from that perspective, because now you got to overcome an extra obstacle with yourself. But be open to receive that help, and don't be afraid to ask for help, because there's a lot of people around you I see that is willing to help you. You can definitely go in and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. So don't allow this to defeat you. You know, your allowance is really what's holding you back. You're not allowing it. So allow these things to come in, and they'll make full circle, and come back and let Miss Blue know when you pass that test, because you will. Yep, that's what you're going to do. Yeah.
Okay.
And you'll be
Thank
a
you.
Wonderful healthcare provider. So do your work. Much love to you.
Much love to you. Thank you. Be blessed.
Bye-bye. Be blessed. Peace. All right. Sorry about that, Brother Wang. You know work is never done.
That's great, you know.
All right. We're gonna go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 786. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Good evening.
Good evening. Who's on the line, please?
My name is Damani. Good evening, Miss Blue and Brother Wayne Chandler.
Yeah, how's it going, my brother?
I'm fine, thank you. Presently, I'm a truck driver, and I drive 48 states. And I have a lot of beautiful experiences out here spiritually. I mean, seeing different creatures and so forth. But of late, I've been having a block. Like I haven't been getting no transmissions and so forth. There's a lot of frustration economically because, you know, truck drivers sometimes go through, you know, being taken advantage of by the companies that we work for. So I just called in. I didn't know I had 4G on my phone, and I figured out, and I called into the show, and it's just like, just listen, you know. So I just kind of tuned in. So thanks to Ms. Lou Morton, the question is just more directed at, like, you know, with my energy, what are you picking up? What do I need to focus on? But like I say, out here on the road, these long roads, not late at night, it's like pure information. But of late, it's been like nothing, and I'm like, yo, what's going on, you know?
Okay. Thank you for calling in. Let me do this, because tonight we have Brother Wayne Chandler that's coming on. Did you
okay.
have a question from what you were listening to that you wanted to ask for Brother Wayne Chandler? You can always email me and we can
okay.
do that. Yeah,
so,
but do you have a question for Brother Wayne?
Yes, but Brother Wayne speaks a lot about the breath, right? And like I said, I'm not overweight or nothing. I'm a real slim, a former Marine. But I sit like for long hours in the seat, you know, going cross country. I know. I wonder
mm-hmm.
what type of breathing exercises can I incorporate to help me while I'm out here, just to stay, you know, stay focused on the inside. Anything, knowing like the nature of the work that I do.
The breathing exercise that I gave earlier on the program would be perfect for that, because its purpose is to generate energy.
Okay.
You know, so that's going to, like, really just wake up your circuits, keep you very active, keep your internal environment very active, you know, and invigorated.
Okay.
So I would definitely highly recommend, you know, that particular breathing exercise. And just based on, you know, if there's another technique that's called three-sectional breathing, or the complete breath, or Vaz breathing, but it's using the entire lung, you know. So you begin by inhaling and kind of like, you know, poofing out the lower portion of the abdomen, bringing that up into the mid portion of your body by just lightly expanding, you know, the ribs, and then inhaling that by lifting it up into the upper portion of the lung by just lifting the shoulders. Now, eventually, you'll be able to, like, just drop all of those particular techniques that I just gave you to get all of the air into the three sections of the lung. You know, expanding of the lower area creates the filling of the lower portion of the lung. Bringing it up into the middle by expanding slightly the rib cage brings it into the mid portion of the lung, and then raising the shoulders, inhaling it up into the upper portion of the lung. So using that is going to give you seven times the amount of oxygen into your body. Once you begin to, like, better oxygenate your system just using that particular breathing technique, then the brain is going to become, you know, more active and invigorated because more oxygen is going to be getting to your brain. That in itself is going to be keeping you more alert and keeping you clear and more focused on your long drives.
Sometimes reach for the 5-hour energy or the Monster or coffee just to stay up to get these miles out of my way, you know. And so I know they're not the healthiest of things at all, but sometimes I need a little assistance. So I really give thanks for that. And I will go back and download the show and to listen to the part because I just tuned in, you know. But I give thanks to you, sir, and to Miss Blue. You know, more of my power and strength be unto y'all and the work that y'all doing helping us out here in this ascension time, you know.
All right. Peace and love to you. Thank you so much for calling in with that.
Thanks, sure, brother.
Yes, yes. Very good question. So let me ask you in terms of that, because we know that all things sort of kind of go together. And I know that for me, I love to drive. It really gives me a sense of peace, you know, just to be on the road and just to take
peace
long trips sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You said what?
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Oh, do you? Oh, I love it. We have to do a road trip. I love to drive. I do. I love to drive. But could that be impacting him energetically because your eyes are so focused?
Oh, no
outwardly?
Question.
Yeah.
No, it takes a toll.
Mm-hmm.
It does take a toll.
Yeah. It does take a toll, and I think that's where a lot of his energy is going because he's focusing so much on external, looking outward, and then the internal, you know, because it's that a place where we could say your chi a lot of times leak? You know how we talk about leaking chi? It's always looking, always seeing.
No question. We lose a lot of chi through the eyes because the eyes are so overly engaged in, like, pulling all types of information into, you know, the mind, even things that, you know, we aren't even aware of. The eye is seeing and processing and pulling in, you know. So there are things that are
right.
taking place in the mind, you know, that we in a conscious fashion aren't even aware of. You know, so the eyes are embracing, engaging, and pulling in volumes of environmental information all
right.
of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So they do. They yeah. lose a lot of energy. It's said that, you know, during the course of a 24-hour period, that we lose about 10% of our chi daily just through the eyes.
Just through our eyes.
Just
that's,
through our
that's
eyes
a,
alone, yeah.
That's an excellent, excellent question there, too. Where are some of the other places? Because I know we have about 3 or 4 different portals where we actually lose a lot of chi.
Yeah, we do. I mean, through a lot of the senses, you know, because the senses, as they go out to pull in, you know, from the environment, they're using energy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that energy, those particular meridians that connect, because all of the organs represent or connect to one of the 5 senses. You know, so when those senses are being overly stimulated, then again, it's the organ that's producing the energy for those senses to be as active and sharp and as online as they need to be to bring in the necessary amount of information that they're able to record and decipher from the environment. So again, it plays on the organ, you know. So for example, for the kidneys, you know, the kidneys deal with the ears, you know. So for the liver deals with the eyes. So if you're on eye drain, then that's impacting, you know, your liver. You know, if you have a hearing issue, you know, then and or you're going out or you're in a job, you know, that's all about, you know, listening. I don't know. Maybe you're an espionage agent or something. I don't know. But, you know, that having to, like, use the ears in that fashion, you know, to listen, you know, all of the time. Or maybe you're, you know, a court stenographer or, you know, I mean, whatever field, you know, where the ears are really used, where you have to really focus and listen to what that individual is saying all of the time, you're using a lot of, you know, auricular energy, you know. So, you know, the organs, once again, they're at the base of whatever we use and how we expend energy in an obvious sense in our everyday reality.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. We have a few more callers, and I just thank you so much for being with us. We're still good. We're doing good on time. I want you to think about who you want to give the gift to or how we want to give it out. It's up to you. We'll think about that. I'm going to go to the next caller. It looks like calling in from area code 504. You're live in the Remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 504.
Hello, is that me?
That is 504.
Okay, yes, I'm calling from Harvey, Louisiana.
Greetings.
Hi, my name's Dominic. How you doing, Ms. Lou? We talked.
Fine. How are you, Dominic? Yes, how
good,
are you?
Good. I've been listening to you guys. How you doing, Dr. Chandler?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing very well, brother. Thank you.
I got on the show a little bit late tonight, but I've been quick on my notes. And I was just going to ask you a brief question because I've been working out and play a lot of basketball. You know, I've been pretty much playing basketball all my life. And I've just been, like, trying to do different type of workouts. And how you feel about standing, like, upside down, like, to changing your – and how does that – what does that play on your heart? When your blood, like with your circulation and your body movements and with the gravity and everything on your body?
Yeah, well, I mean, inversion practices, you know, are very powerful when done correctly. I mean, you actually have contraptions now, you know, that utilize inversion technique.
Right.
And yeah, the whole principle behind it, you know, is to get more blood circulating in the upper regions of the body, specifically the brain, because gravity really works against us in that fashion. In yoga, you know, one of the more powerful, which they call the king, you know, of the yoga postures is the headstand, you know, and being able to go into the headstand and hold it for at least 5 minutes, you know, so that the brain is engorged.
Yeah, I've been trying that practice a lot lately. I studied a little research on Google, and I feel like it gives me energy before my workouts.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of gets me going a little bit. Is that good for your heart?
No, it's not just for your heart. I mean, it works the heart, but it also works the brain, you know.
Okay. Yeah, all right. And yeah, like when I jump rope, and sometimes like, well, I was talking about my heart because sometimes when I jump rope, I kind of feel like a little like a different rhythm to my heart. Maybe like because I'm jumping in the same, like bouncing in the same rhythm. Is that is that a problem? Is that, you know, because
the heart. I mean, you're pumping up the heart. You have like to remember that the way we approach health and what we work on and perceive as a health-based regimen in the West, is very different as to how they look at health in the East and what really builds a health-based regimen in the East. You know,
yeah,
so a lot of the things that we do here to create what we feel, you know, or interpret as a strong sense or state of health, you know, in terms of what health is how we appear physically. And how we appear physically is all denoted by our obvious external physicality. You know, are our muscles strong? You know, do we have, you know, flexibility? But then again, you know, all of those virtues and features are developed and transferred from energy that is being cultivated in the organs of our body. So the stronger you get, if you think about it, look at, you know, the most accomplished athletes, even Olympians.
Right.
We look at them and we hold them in great, you know, high esteem for what they've been able to do, you know, in terms of becoming the best of the best in whatever their field of competition may be. But when it's
right.
all said and done and the smoke clears, they don't live any longer than anybody else, and most of them die prematurely.
Yeah.
The reason is because they have exhausted the energetic reserves of the internal organs and glands of their body to achieve, you know, this high level of physical proficiency. You know, so if you're on a regimen, you know, that really incorporates a lot of, you know, like bodybuilding or physical, you know, activity, you want to balance that by having some type of an internal regimen which reinstates some level of vitality in the organs that are putting out to allow you to become accomplished in your physical discipline.
So how about this as a schedule, waking up, like meditation for internal growth and looking inward, and then like yoga and then the breathing practices and then the exercising. It's just about keeping it all in balance, basically, right?
Yeah, it is.
But I don't want to overexalt myself. I mean, I'm 29 and, you know, I feel great. I had a game today and, you know, it's like I push myself. And I push myself, and, like, I really try to strive. I've been really trying to push myself, you know, to become the best that I can be, you know, in that sense that, since, you know, you can't play basketball forever, and I'm only 29, and I'm getting older, and, you know, this is, like, one of the most valuable times of my career. So, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, what I would do to really polish my game and to add even a deeper dimension to it and to create a little bit more longevity in terms of how my physical body is handling, you know, the running and the pounding, you know, the jumping, all of that, I would definitely look, you know, inside and begin to work my internal terrain. I'd look, you know, because you got to, I mean, the bottom line is your organs are bequeathing to you your physical abilities. That's the bottom line. So you always want to go to the area where you're really, you know, generating your power. And if you can give more power, more vitality to that particular area, then that's going to benefit you in the short term as well as the long term, you know, for what you're doing and trying to accomplish, you know, in your sport or your field of competition.
Now, would you say refraining from a lot of sexual pleasures, would that be good, or is that helpful to refrain from?
Well,
sex,
this is
or?
This. I mean, this is the thing, man. I mean, like in deep competitive sports, you know, like when I look at basketball, you know, I can always tell when cats have won a game and then they've just gone off and expended and ejaculated their chi away. You know,
right.
It's
right.
Very obvious to me, you know.
Yeah, me too.
So yeah, it definitely, you know, I mean, if you're going to, you know, be in a competition or you're getting ready to play a game that's, you know, going to have a significant impact on how you want the outcome, you know, of that game to go, then I would definitely say refrain, you know, from any intense sexual encounters where you're going to lose your seed. Because basically every time that happens, you're losing your life force. That's the bottom line.
So that's another thing. Okay.
Yes. Well, listen, we do have other callers, and you know what? Great questions, but I want to get to these other callers. Dominique, thank you so much for calling in. I would definitely recommend that you download this show, and definitely if you didn't hear the other show with Brother Wayne Chandler, that you should definitely go back and download that as well. And you can also pick up some of the DVDs and, you know, find out where Brother Wayne Chandler is going to be, because this is something that could greatly, greatly help you and just increase where you are already and just helping you move to the next level. So you can actually email him at Phoenix, the number 9, rising at hotmail.com so that we can make sure we get to all the callers on the line, okay?
Thank you. God bless to both of y'all.
Yeah, man.
All
take
right.
good care.
Love
good luck.
Y'all the best in the world. Y'all my everything when it comes to the knowledge. Thank you.
All right. Okay, beautiful. Maybe we can take one more caller, and then we'll talk about how we're going to give out the gifts and go from there. We're going to go to the caller calling in from area code 404. You're live in the Remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hi, Ms. Blue. It's Hannah from Atlanta.
Greetings to you, Hannah from Atlanta. You got a question for Brother Wayne?
Yes, I do. I actually met you, Wayne, at the wellness retreat in Atlanta in March.
Okay.
And I was, like, so much in awe that I couldn't really ask questions. But, yes, that's nice. And it formulated about the last, about two calls ago, about the eyes.
Uh-huh.
Is it the same concept with, like, with your left side is receiving, your right side is giving with the eyes?
Well,
energy goes.
I mean, the eyes give. I mean, just in general. But you're saying, are you saying that one eye pulls in more energy and the other eye projects more energy based on the right and the left?
Yes.
That's a good question, you know. I mean, I would have to say unless there's a defect, you know, like an ocular defect of some form, I really don't think that that would be the case, because having that kind of imbalance is going to create a systemic imbalance throughout the entire body. You know, if the eye, because of how it's connected, even through the various attributes, you know, that feed into the eye through the brain, you know, I mean, there's just too many networks that are at play, you know, with respect to vision and using, you know, the whole visual cortex and what the eyes record, and to have that kind of imbalance where the eye is pulling in unevenly and giving out unevenly, it would just create, like, a very deep systemic imbalance that would create problems that people would, it would be hard to recuperate from.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The second question was about techniques to reduce emotional stimulation before meditation.
Yeah, the best thing is are the sounds, are the six healing sounds.
Okay.
Just to do those before you go into meditation.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, good question. Good question, Hannah. Both good questions. thank you for calling in.
All right.
All right. Peace and love.
Yeah. Take
all
good
right.
Care.
Yeah. Yeah. Good question. It was. I guess I looked at that question a little abstract because truly, when it comes to maybe pulling in, would you say, Brother Wang? Because we don't necessarily truly see through our eyes anyway.
Right.
You know. You know. So. You know. It really a lot of that comes in through the third eye, and it's based upon our perception of just what we think things to be, to see
exactly.
It really is coming in through there. So, you know, whether it comes in through the left or the right, that's not the true point of inception
exactly.
of what happens with the eyes anyway. You know, I think
right.
about the story with our Native American brothers and sisters in how when they first seen what a boat was, they went to the river so many times, but they just seen the water moving. They never seen the boat.
Exactly.
Because it wasn't something that they had in their consciousness, so there
right.
was no template for it.
Right.
So they couldn't see it. It didn't mean they were blind. It meant that they could not see it. But what
yeah.
they knew is that something was coming that was not in alignment with what their energy was and who they were as a people. And so they began to prepare based upon that. And then
yeah.
once the boats got closer, they finally seen what they later learned to be a boat.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
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 So true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it has been an honor to have you here. We've had so much fun tonight. I always love having you come on the forum. I want to thank you so much. We have to get ready to make a decision about who's going to get this very,
Sasha.
Very special gift.
Sasha.
Which was, I think it's, she called in from area code 917. Let's see. 917?
Yes, it's me.
Yes, is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
Well, we were both thinking the same thing. I didn't remember your name, but I wrote down 917. And so Brother Chandler picked your name. And so he remembered your name. And so, hey, it lined up divinely. So there you go. That is your very special gift.
I appreciate
it
a lot.
Oh.
Yeah, it'll be my honor. So the best way, I guess, would be to email me, and then we can set up the appointment.
Okay. All right.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful.
I will do that right now.
All right. Well, thank you. And you have to definitely come back and let us know how it was. We can share
okay.
stories. It'll be amazing, I'm sure. Beautiful. All right. Thank you so much. All right. Well, peace and love, Brother Wang Chandler. It is such an honor to have you here. Look forward to having you back. And I know you're going to be doing a lecture soon in Atlanta. You're going to be going to Jamaica. We'd love for you to tell us about your trip in Poland and how that all goes for you. And as you continue to do your work and just really spread all of that magic all over the world. So
yeah, and you as well. And thank you so much, you know, for just having me in the house. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, anytime. Well, peace and love to you. We're going to go ahead and close out this evening. You guys, don't forget to download an amazing chair here. Definitely one of those things you want to put on your iPod. To put on the genius list, to have Brother Wang Chandler in this chair here tonight. I will see you guys, I guess, in the house Friday night. For those of you who will be having readings, I'll see you guys in the sessions this week. Sure to be amazing as well. And maybe we'll do a blue glass call sometime this week. Lots of energy on the planet. Make sure you get yourself plugged in. Step outside the box and just continue to live life knowing your magic, which is living with a purpose. So peace and love to everybody. We're going to get out of here. Much love, warm spirit. Until next time, everyone, be in the remix. Peace.
La, 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 the remix. Hey, this is Baby Blue. And remember, if nothing else moves you, life will.
All right, everyone. Peace and love.